This week's episode of Robin Akiva Anita Podcast is sponsored by betonline.ag. So much going on in sports in November, NFL, college football, NBA, NHL. It's the greatest time of year for the passionate diehard sports fans out there. There's only one place to go to get in on all the action. That's betonline.ag. Don't wait any longer. Use promo code podcast1 to get a 50% sign up bonus. That's podcast1 to get a 50% sign up bonus at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and exclusive partner of the Podcast One Sportsnet.
Robin Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Robin Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy themselves your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've got it, your bill. Every weekend, better attend. You can guess what will be coming up next. Robin Akiva need a podcast.
Yes, that's right. Robin Akiva need a podcast, especially today. I'm Rob Cicerino, back with Akiva Winokur. Akiva, how are you?
I'm doing great. Long time no speak.
Yes, long time no speak. We last recorded the Leprechaun podcast on October 17th. Today, it is Halloween, a very spooky day to be back recording with you, Akiva. And Akiva, we have a problem.
We're doing Leprechaun 2 because it's Halloween?
Well, Leprechaun 2 could be in the submission queue. We haven't gotten to that yet. But the Your Tweets Are Trash, which came up on the wheel last week, even with the two-week hiatus in between podcasts, not ready to go.
Yep, we couldn't organize time. This is why you don't like having guests, because it's just annoying to get
well, that's
three
one
people's
of the reasons.
Schedules
Look,
together.
You could have the best guest in the world, but you know you need to book them, and it's another complication. But I'm really having veto FOMO right now. I really wish I would have played my power of veto on Your Tweets Are Trash.
Now you said. I think at the last podcast that you were considering vetoing it.
Yes, and I didn't.
And people wrote in. Antonio Mazzaro said, he wrote me and he said, Rob said, whatever you pick, I'm fine with.
Yes.
In
no,
terms
I am
of what's on Your Tweets Are Trash.
I am fine, but this is what you have to know about me, Akiva, that yeah. I was reluctantly fine, but now I am going along kicking and screaming into Your Tweets Are Trash.
Right. And now it's pushed us behind a week. And listen, is it going to be worse than the music video episode? Already, we know it's going to be better. So
probably not. Probably
how bad
not.
Could it be? If it's so bad, we won't even air it. And then mm-hmm. we'll just take another two-week hiatus.
Yeah. Okay. So Your Tweets Are Trash. And Akiva is still working on it. So that is going to be next week's episode of the podcast. But we didn't want to go 2 weeks without doing a show. So here we are today. And so we have sort of a harebrained scheme to try to get an episode in this week. Akiva, can you set up what we're about to do today?
Yeah, we're going backwards today.
Backwards? How? How do you mean backwards?
Okay, we are going to start with the mailbag and the wheel picking.
Okay.
And then we will pick a podcast, and then live on the air, I guess we'll pick, after we pick it, we will... Let's say we pick CSI New York. We will sit down, we'll stop the podcast, we will watch the CSI New York, and then we will do the podcast right here today.
Okay. What happens if it's something that we cannot do immediately, Akiva?
We will have to, if it's not possible to do it in like a couple hour span without either user feedback or research, then we'll put it back on the wheel.
Okay. All right. Did we have to use a veto?
No, we don't need to use a veto. I think this is a one-time sort of...
extenuating circumstances.
This is like in minor league baseball when there's a doubleheader and they just play seven-inning games because they're like, who cares? We don't need to do 2 9-inning games. It's minor league baseball. That's what we're doing today.
All right. So, all right. A backwards episode here in episode number 8 of RAANAP.
We did a backwards episode of Seinfeld. People liked it.
People liked it. A little confusing, but people, I think, ultimately did like it. All right. So, Akiva, first off, Leprechaun podcast. I felt like that pretty good feedback on the Leprechaun podcast.
Yeah, we weren't sure how people would respond because we didn't know. Like, we assumed correctly that nobody who hadn't seen the movie was going to watch it just to play along with us.
That's right. That's right. And I think that helped us.
Yeah, I think that people were so appreciative that we watched it so they didn't have to, and they and they gave us good reviews.
Yeah.
People liked it to the point where I think we have to discuss, do we do the whole Leprechaun series? Do we put Leprechaun 2 on the wheel?
I don't think we do it today because...
No, we don't do it today because if we have to watch Leprechaun 2 right now, I think we're both going to quit this podcast.
Yeah.
If but that's from, what turned up.
From what I understand, that I actually went down the Leprechaun wormhole on YouTube. The Leprechaun movies
so
become...
You're spoiled?
I'm not spoiled, okay. But I've seen highlights from some of the other Leprechaun movies. The Leprechaun movies become increasingly insane.
Yeah.
Like, Leprechaun 1 was, like, kind of, like, grounded in reality. The Leprechaun 2 and beyond just become, like, the Leprechaun is sort of doing, like, tricky things, like, granting people wishes that go horribly wrong. So, there could be some good podcasting in the rest of the Leprechaun franchise.
Yeah, I think he's rapping. A lot of people sent us the clip of the Leprechaun rapping in Leprechaun Back to the Hood 2 or whatever it was.
So, all right, maybe there's some more Leprechaun, but not today. Not today for more Leprechaun.
Yeah, so we got dozens of submissions for what we should add to the wheel. So I think we should go over those submissions. If there's anything we want to add, we can add it. It doesn't have to be something relevant for today. We could add it, and if it comes up, we'll just put it back on the wheel. And then we'll spin soon. And then, we'll either watch a show or we'll prepare if we have to prepare. And then we'll just go straight into the podcast live on air.
Okay, great.
All right. So a bunch of submissions. Let's start with at the Nick That Sucks.
Okay.
He says an RANAP podcast idea. He calls it Wheel Brand Steel.
Wheel Brand Steel. Got it.
Each idea on the wheel is represented by a character object and plugged into Brand Steel, where they must blindside each other and all logic. Winner becomes next week's podcast fan fave, gets one extra weight on the wheel.
I like the idea of doing a Brant Steel, but I don't know if that's necessarily it. We're talking about like, oh, your tweets are trash. Just made an alliance with Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Right. Okay.
Let's now, see. Now, is it Jonathan Taylor Thomas the podcast or the person in that scenario?
Podcast. The podcast.
Okay.
And then it's like, oh, wait, here comes Leprechaun 2. They've just found the immunity idol. Luck of the Irish strikes again.
That might be good. Now, you're making it seem better than I thought it would be. Do you think, like, could we make an Akiva's Choice, Rob's Choice alliance, like Final 2?
Yeah.
Can we make a Final 2 deal?
Maybe. You know, I liked when you and I did the NFL quarterbacks survivor podcast, and I feel like that. So I'm very open to a Brant Steel idea, but I don't think that this is it.
Fine. But send in your Brant Steel ideas for next week and we'll read them on the wheel. If you have fun things that we could Brant Steel that aren't like hypothetical ideas. Mm-hmm. My idea that I've mentioned to you before that I like is the United States play survivor. So like all 50 states go into casting and we cast states and we play out a season of Survivor that way.
Yeah. I to me, states, flags, currency. That
people suggested currency.
No, but it's not exciting to me.
Okay. Now, the one thing I did like about the Wheel Brand Steel idea is if we could call, because this was almost an impromptu. We just scheduled this record this morning, basically, like, if we would call Mike Bloom right now and we'd basically text Mike Bloom, you up, see if he would want to join us like right now. Cause you know, if there's a Brant Steel, in the horizon, like he'd be all for that. He'd hop right on with
Believe
us.
Believe it or not, I do think that Mike Bloom has a day job. So I think that,
I know, but I don't know if that day job, like I'm sure he's got, you know how people have like PTO and they have sick days. Like he has Brant Steel days. Like if there's an emergency Brant Steel, he can take off from work. It's his contract.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see if like Bloom has the pod phone that just like he's able to I'll be there immediately.
Should I don't want to be mean. Should I DM Mike Bloom right now and be like, hey, can you come on the podcast this second?
Well, yeah, I don't think you should get his hopes up.
That's how I feel bad. But what do you think he would say?
I think he would say that he is not available. I mean, that inside baseball right now, it is 10:09 a.m. here on the West Coast. So 1:09 on the East Coast. I do think that, Mike has engagements during the day.
Speaking of engagements.
Yes.
We had a discussion a few weeks ago when we put the dad cast on the wheel, which was me and you giving people dad advice. which I think we can definitely not pick today because we need people to ask questions. We said that Mike Bloom would have a kid just to be able to join that podcast.
Yes, yes.
And now he announced on Twitter.
Congratulations.
He's having a baby. So he DM'd me, and now he said he's up for the dadcast. He's,
okay.
You know, if we could just wait a few months, like, you know, he'll be able to give us some newborn advice.
Yes. All right. Great.
All right. So that was Wheel Brand Steel. Okay. Como Shepherd on Twitter says, piggybacking on a few ideas, he especially loved the wife swap cast and liked the idea of interviewing other people. Would you consider doing a Craig Kilborn style 5 questions with various RHAP personalities and reading their emailed responses?
I think that this is interesting, but I'm not sure if it's exciting.
Right. Do people like this idea? And is it one person per episode? Or are we emailing like every RHAP co-host questions? Might be fun.
I mean, hypothetically, let's say, okay, we have 5 questions from Mike Bloom. I mean, uh-huh. Is that getting everybody, you know, really pumped up? Like, we've got
right.
the answers.
Is there a way to make it like a competition? Or like, what if we emailed every RHAP right. podcaster?
Because I think that the appeal of the wife swap quiz was that, okay, our wives are going to come in and they're going to just be brutal and mean.
Yeah.
And kill us, where sure. even if the RHAP co-hosts had mean stuff to say, they may not, you know, be so willing to, you know, say, you know, it's the worst thing about Rob.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I that makes sense. All right. So if someone has
the candor
an idea
might not be there.
That's true. If someone has an idea for like a series of questions or some things like that, we're available. Yeah. What about this idea? Rob and Akiva do the Taran show.
Okay.
So it's
yeah.
Here's how it works. Me and you, we maybe any listener who wants to be on submits their name into a hypothetical hat. We pick a person at random and we do the Taran show on them.
So we do a deep dive into like we take the Taran show format of sort of like
we do the Taran show, but yes, and we do it on a listener.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like that.
Now, we could have interesting listeners, but it could also be like we could get a really boring person. So, like, I would suggest boring people not submit their names to this hypothetical hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a very confusing concept because I think that.
Well, okay. How about this?
Yeah.
Because the Taran show thing is confusing you.
Yes.
What if we call it WTF with Robin Akiva?
Well, I think that we ideally, you know, our goal is that we want to make a podcast that's funny, right? I think that above all else, that's what we're going for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't want to hear because you're saying that is too serious, right?
I feel like that in some ways that's sort of like the antithesis of, you know, what we're doing, where we're trying to, you know, be, joking around and funny. And so to do a serious
interview.
You should
have told me this whole time I was supposed to be funny, by the way. This is like episode 9.
Right, right. If we're really going to do like a deep dive into, you know, all of the inner workings of a person, like maybe it could be interesting, but it probably won't be funny. I don't know. I think I'd pass on that. And also, it sounds like that the podcast is going to be me and you are on the Taran show.
Well, the name is confusing, but I think that's the funny part, that we do the Taran show. We just do it on somebody else. Taran is not involved. I mean, if he wants to come, he could be like a third guest, but I can't. 3 people asking one person questions. That would be confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'd just be shouting over each other. How was your childhood?
It's a press conference. It's a gaggle. Yeah.
All right, this is from Shut Up Tim, who I think has the most ideas on the wheel of anybody so far.
Okay.
It's called Strong Choice. Rob Akiva and @HStrong_, that's @HaleyStrong, try a variety of different snacks and treats and determine what's good and what's not. Wine during this is optional, like snack or whack, but with Haley.
Yeah.
So we all eat the same food and we like rate foods or we have some sort of thing. My idea is we all get a bunch of wacky Oreos, like apple pie Oreos and this flavor Oreos, because that's on Amazon, so you just get it delivered to your house, so nobody has to leave their house.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get Shut Up Tim to pay for it, since it's his idea. We've already established if you submit something that costs money, you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that idea? Strong choice. And I don't think the name, by the way, is a strong choice. But I like the idea.
We're eating on a podcast.
We could eat beforehand and take notes.
Who cares what Oreo is the best flavor?
I mean, Haley Strong definitely cares which Oreo is the best flavor.
Yeah. You guys can have that one for 32 fans. You guys right, so can have the Oreo bracket. Idea. Right.
Maybe the Oreo off, it would be called.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. So Rob has nixed every
Haley
idea so
is
far.
Funny, but eating Oreos, right. I don't think is that funny.
And you hate food.
You're basically
saying that Doughboys is a bad idea.
Do they eat stuff on the podcast?
At the end of the podcast, they do. They don't go to the restaurant on the podcast except for the shrimp off where they ate a lot of shrimp in an eating contest. But in general, they're like at the end of the podcast, they'll eat a snack on the podcast.
And I feel like it's going to be a lot of like food shaming of me. Me and Haley, we really like cookies. Yes, you don't really 100%. Even like cookies. So.
But you might like cookies, actually. Do you like cookies?
I mean, cookies are fine. Do I want to, eat ever? I don't really love Oreos, to be honest.
I don't love Oreos either, but no one's going to love like apple pie Oreos or whatever ridiculous flavors they have. Or Halloween peep Oreos or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a no on that, but that might be a good 32 fans idea.
Yeah, right, that seems more on brand for 32 fans.
I think you're probably right. Ryan says that we challenge each other to 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Okay.
Rob and Akiva will come up with two seemingly unrelated celebrities or well-known people in history, and they'll challenge the other to verbally talk through how they're related through pop culture and history. This must be done in at least 6 steps per the rules of the classic 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game. You may not research in advance, and the celebs famous people are to be decided on the spot. I believe listening to Rob and Akiva talk their way through how the two people could be related would make for a hilarious podcast. Make game out of it makes this even better.
Yeah. I really like this idea.
I don't think it's a standalone podcast idea. I think it's like a funny game to play at the end of an episode or a segment.
Mm-hmm. So
how long? It's like a 3-minute game, the way he's describing it.
So hypothetically, it's sort of like an offshoot of IMD bags where, Jennifer Aniston is in Leprechaun. Okay. What can we get to Kevin Bacon for Jennifer Aniston?
Correct. But I also think that's more of like, when we would mention IMD bags, like let's say we were watching a show. And you mentioned Jennifer Aniston and Gwyneth Paltrow. And I said, like, all right, Rob, how do you connect Gwyneth Paltrow and Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah. Now, when we say there's no advanced research, I would need to restudy the IMDb of Kevin Bacon, because I think off the top of my head, I can only name about 3 Kevin Bacon movies. I used to know a lot to be able to play this game, but that was like 20 years ago.
I don't know. The only Kevin Bacon movie I could even think of is Wild Things.
Yeah, so he's
what
in
other movies. Is he in? I'm sure he's in a lot of movies.
So he's in A Few Good Men that has a lot of people in it where you can get from that. I know he was in Hollow Man, and
is he still acting regularly? Bacon,
Footloose,
the Baconator.
I don't know if you see him too much.
Isn't
on
his
stuff.
Wife one of those
Kira
TNT?
Sedgwick?
Okay, so she's like bigger than him basically at this point.
I don't know about that.
I mean, she was like the, what was that show
the
called
closer,
on TNT?
Right?
The Exterminator. I was going to say The Exterminator.
The Exterminator. Yeah.
Yeah, he still acts a little bit. He's in I Love Dick. Mm-hmm. I guess he's Dick because you get Kevin Bacon. He's going to be like the eponymous star of the show. But this show looks bad. Oh, it's an Amazon streaming show.
Yeah. I think he's also in a couple of like big like ensemble movies that really, are sort of like the cheat codes.
He was in Patriot's Day, which I think was one of those like Mark Wahlberg pretends to be like a special agent.
Is it
movie.
Mark? Is it Mark Wahlberg?
I don't know. If it wasn't, then he definitely like he was definitely Matt. Patriot's Day was it was Mark Wahlberg.
Okay,
they wouldn't let anybody make Mark Wahlberg would like stab someone who tried to make that movie instead of him.
Is that the Boston bombing movie? Is that Patriot's
Day? Yeah, that's the Boston bombing movie. Now he's definitely going to do a Whitey Bulger movie. Now that Whitey Bulger was just
right.
R.I.P. Whitey.
All right, so you're passing on Kevin Bacon game.
I think it's a fun idea to maybe come up during a podcast, but I don't think it's a standalone
it
podcast.
Needs something else. Maybe it needs a twist on it, so we'll put the Baconator off to the side.
We have not put anything on the wheel yet. Tzvi, his idea is called Rebootylicious.
Okay.
And he says it seems that every day there's news of a new and ridiculous reboot of an old show. What would be the actual worst shows to reboot? A great show that should be left alone, like, say, The Wire? Or what about Suddenly Susan? What would be the best? A show that had promised but failed to live up to it, like Setayesh? I don't know if that's a typo Setayesh. Or making up a show. Or a revered Golden Age era show like Hanging Mr. with Mr. Cooper.
Wait, who is Hanging with Mr. Cooper revered by? Is it me?
What is Satayesh? Satayesh is a appears to be like an Iranian, like an Iranian TV show.
Maybe Zvi loves it.
Yeah, he must love this show called, but it has a 3.8 on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
The series revolves around a young girl named Satayesh.
Mm-hmm.
Satayesh's brother Muhammad is deployed in wartime military service, but the service and the family flees lies. Tahir, Muhammad's friend, helps him to leave the country, but Muhammad is near the Turkish border. He's killed. Muhammad goes to jail. Families will discover the differences between Muhammad and Tahir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm already confused, and I just read the summary.
Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, so yeah. I like this idea. I want to call it Reboot Camp, and then people can send us a list of TV shows and movies, and you and I are working on the 2018 reboot.
Okay.
Things that have not been rebooted yet, and you and I have to come up with how what the reboot looks like.
Okay, but I'm going to put that in the waiting room because obviously we can't do that today.
Can't do it today. Put it on to go on a future.
So you don't
episode.
Like Rebootylicious?
Rebootylicious? That's funnier.
What's funnier, but I don't think you can't put that in like the title of the iTunes podcast.
Yeah, Reboot Camp. Yeah. I think is a little
that is
more
a good name.
Succinct in terms of what it is and descriptive of what we're trying to do.
Okay, a couple more. We'll save the rest for next week. James from Earth. He doesn't want to get too specific. Says. Since Star Wars is too beloved, I suggest watching the Family Guy parody episodes instead. By the way, that would be a good thing to add today. Rob just explains the Rob explains Star Wars to Akiva.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to watch anything for that. Do you know Star Wars like offhand? Or would you need to watch it again?
The prequels I would need to study. But if it was
I don't think we would do all six. That would take a long time. I think it would be the original trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could sort of sum up the basically tell you the story of Star Wars, and you can ask me questions along the way.
Do you want to add that to the wheel or no?
Sure, we can do that.
All right, because that's one thing that's the least research. We could start that without even taking a break, in theory.
Okay, so then basically to make it a real challenge, I will have to do it without notes.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, okay. That's good. But you're also, because this is part of the canon of the submission, you have to include a couple like false things in each movie, and then I have to try and catch what's fake.
Okay.
Like, I have to call you out on something fake, but I only get 3 call-outs, and then I get, like, zapped or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
All right, but James from Earth says, since Star Wars is too beloved, I suggest watching the Family Guy parody episodes instead. It would be interesting to hear what Akiva thinks is part of real Star Wars and what parts he thinks is just Family Guy making a joke. Do you know do you know how Family Guy has 2 writers' rooms? You ever hear about this?
No.
So Family Guy, if you're a writer on Family Guy, there's a regular writers' room, which, they write scripts for episodes. And they also write them like 18 months before they go on air because it takes a long time to animate them, which makes sense. But there's also real, if you think about it, very few topical jokes in The Simpsons and Family Guy. And then there's a second room that they just do the gags. It's a separate room, and you could just go in and, like, pitch, like, when Peter Griffin says, like, that's not the only time, I slipped on a tomato. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, him slipping on, like, Sean White or something. I don't know. I just made that up off the top of my head. But, like,
Week for Sean White.
Yeah, he did have a tough week. Listen, it's hard, but 4 years between Winter Olympics. You just got to stay in the news somehow.
is that the move?
Although he is trying to be – he's trying to skateboard in the Summer Olympics, actually. So they have 2 writers' rooms. Anyway, that's a fun fact. Mm-hmm. So, Rob could help Akiva with the real story along the way and explain anything confusing, or Rob could troll Akiva and make him think that something in the Family Guy version is what actually happened. Maybe you could just do episode 4 to start and add it back to the wheel for 5 and 6
people
like it.
Let's get out of this. Nobody knows the Family Guy Star Wars episode so much that they would even be able to know what we're talking about. I think that would be horribly confusing.
Okay. Were you ever a Family Guy guy, Rob?
Yes. Yeah. So I came in pretty late into the game, and I probably...
You were in college when Family Guy came on. I would have thought that Family Guy was very popular in college when it first came out.
No. I wasn't aware of it at the time, and I really didn't get into it. I got then like a bunch of like a DVD set of like a couple seasons of Family Guy.
Well, that's
around.
Why it came back on the air, because the first 3 seasons after it got canceled, everyone bought those DVDs because that was like peak DVD buying
but
time.
I didn't start watching the DVDs until like maybe 2007 or something like that, and then I was watched a lot of Family Guy, and then I was even watching like the first run Family Guys at that time.
interesting. Dude, it's weird that, like, I know this isn't an original point, but it's weird that people still watch, like, the original Family Guy and Simpsons. Like, I don't, just because I don't know anybody who, like, still watches Family Guy and Simpsons on Sunday night or even, you know, like, next day, but they're still on the air and they must get decent ratings.
I guess so.
I couldn't name, even like the diehard Simpsons people, I don't think still watch the episodes.
I think Mike Bloom does. I think that's...
Mike Bloom is like a real diehard, like, you know, like Simpsons super fan. I watched one episode because a podcaster I listened to, like, was in a show and he was promoting it. It was unwatchable. The episode of The Simpsons that I watched like a year or two ago. Just completely unwatchable. Not funny. Not one joke in it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's another Star Wars idea.
Maybe
from
living
Julia.
Off reputation at this point.
I think so. And also it's like, because they could just, they already sold the syndication. It's like, well, what's a million times 700, you know? It's just very easy to keep those things going. They just print money. Julia says, what about the Star Wars holiday special? This could serve as a holiday podcast for really any holiday. In the movie, they celebrate Life Day. The movie's bonkers. You don't need to have any Star Wars knowledge to understand what's going on. It's so bad it was never rebroadcast or even distributed on video. It is, however, available on YouTube. I would love to hear you guys recap this disaster. Are you familiar with this?
I have never watched it. I am familiar with it. It's supposed to be, you know, especially horrible. I think Bea Arthur is like singing a song in it. But I feel like that maybe it could be a follow up if we get to Star Wars soon. So I don't think it should be on the wheel too soon.
OK, fine. How about this? We'll just do one more. I'm going to save a bunch for next week. I believe we have added nothing. We added Star Wars to the wheel so far. How about this? Mark says, you guys should do BuzzFeed Blitz. Rob and Akiva each take several BuzzFeed quizzes to find out which blank they are. Examples of this are Game of Thrones characters, Wu-Tang Clan members, Disney princesses, movie villains, Mario characters, etc. You would take the quiz beforehand and reveal on the podcast, but I think it would be more fun to do them on the show. At the end, you two could decide whose set of answers, e.g. Jon Snow, Method Man, Cinderella, Darth Vader, and Yoshi, is the best, or which group would win in a fight, or wherever you want to pick the winner.
Okay, so I think that this is fun. I think that we should let the listeners submit to us which online quizzes we should take.
Right, and also I think we take them off air probably, right? If we're each taking like multiple quizzes, then...
No, I think we should go through it. I think that, you know, I like...
Okay. If we all are also doing this in the Harry Potter idea. We also have to take a witch... Which house are you?
Yeah, I think that's different where it's like, you know, which Sex in the City character are you?
Right.
How much Pete Davidson energy do you have? Like, yeah. I think that, you know,
how much Pete Davidson?
I think that,
like, now or a month ago when he was dating Ariana Grande, I feel like now it's easy to have his energy.
You know, which club sandwich are you? You know, I think that it would be fun to see how we get to these results as opposed to like, okay, so I took the, you know, which My Little Pony are you? And
right. Yeah. Submit good ones. A lot of the listeners have a lot of work this week. All right. One more. Then I'll do a couple season 3, episode 7s and we'll go. All right.
Which Oreo are you?
Yeah, you're definitely not apple pie Oreo.
I got pina colada.
He says, hopefully, if you decide to read this email on the podcast, you can teach Rob how to pronounce my name. He keeps calling me Shannon on RHAP feedback shows. So his name is C-H-A-N-A-N.
Okay. And it's Anan.
Hanan. Can you say it? Hanan.
Hanan.
Yeah, you got it. You nailed it.
Okay.
I went to school with a kid named Hanan. He ended up working in the Obama White House. He was the liaison to the Jewish community. He says, I believe that job's open. You blew my mind while I was listening to the Leprechaun episode, because I've been debating with some friends who the best actress of our generation is, Kate Blanchett or Kate Winslet. And then you brought them up in the same breath, which made me think of an idea for the wheel. How about you and Rob decide once and for all who's the better celebrity in a variety of aspects? You'd obviously do an IMDb bag showdown. We also go over their social media presence. Does Kate Winslet have social media? Find some interviews to see which one has the more interesting things to say. Come up with a point system in which you could award points in a range of issues, personal and professional alike. Maybe even debate each other. Assign a Kate/Kate to each one of you and make your case for the one you got. Then let the listeners decide. What do you think? Please don't say trash. Also, your podcast is incredible. Keep up the good work.
Yes.
This guy's trying to get on the wheel.
I like this idea, but I'm not super interested in the Kate Blanchett versus Kate Winslet debate.
Me neither. Right. I think that this would have been mildly interesting 12 years ago, but nobody cares about
Caitlin Herman over either of them.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of Kates. There's a lot of Kates that are hammering both these Kates right now. But if there is if this was the early 90s and we did like Pacino versus De Niro, like if there was a version of that for right now, I would be all for that, I think. Like the idea of like if we one of us had to watch like, you know, their late night interviews as homework and then we did IMD bags like head to head on the air. So I really like the idea of actor versus some sort of actor versus actor, actress versus actress, or actor versus actress. But I think we need better names, right? Are we in agreement here?
Yeah, I think so. We need like a whole like week of listener submitted, yes. This person or this person, this person or this person.
Yeah, so a lot of homework. We need listeners to send us brand steal ideas. We need listeners to send us, hypothetical ideas if they had fun questions for IGP people. Oreo flavors, no, don't send those. And then we need listeners to send us reboot ideas. And now, what's a good actor versus actor matchup that people could care about? Because if we put Kate Blanchett versus Kate Winslet in the title of the episode, I feel like that's, people are just deleting that straight off. Like, I would delete that straight off my iPhone if that's what came up.
Yeah.
On,
okay. So what's going on the wheel right now?
I think I'm going to put in the waiting room. The actor versus actor. And now the only thing we put on is Star Wars. So we have 12 things on the wheel.
Okay. And Reboot Camp is going into the wheel waiting room.
The waiting room, and so is actor versus actor. Those two are in the wheel waiting room. The wheel waiting room is getting a little crowded.
Okay.
Maybe next week when we have some time, we could put some things in or maybe knock them off the waiting room. A couple Season 3, Episode 7 ideas quickly, and then we'll spin the wheel. Season 3, Episode 7 of Gilligan's Island from Suzanne.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
but you're saying like it's possible right now we're gonna have to watch Gilligan's Island. You're fine with that?
Okay, that's fine. I think it's it's iconic. We can wrap our
but
head
it's
around.
It's not
we
too
can...
beloved. I don't think anybody's gonna be like Gilligan's Island is my favorite show, and now you guys like I'm giving you a 1-star review because you guys. And by the way, we might like it. Okay. Gilligan's Island. I remember liking it.
If anybody Island is their favorite show in 2018, they're not listening to a podcast, okay?
You mean they don't know what a podcast is? They're like Menachem Zamber, right?
Probably.
Okay. Another season three, episode seven idea from Kyle.
Is Gilligan's Island streaming anywhere?
you could also add it now to the ping pong, the fishbowl on a ping pong ball. But the problem is we may pick out a show and it's going to be hard to find. Like I can find shows, but like our computers might get viruses. Just a warning. Season 3, episode 7 of Kyle's favorite show is not Gilligan's Island. It's Boy Meets World. This is the 25th anniversary of the show first airing. In season 3, episode 7, Corey and Sean get a janitor fired.
Why?
Well, we have to watch the show to find out.
Okay. Are you a big BMW stan?
I'm not a big BMW guy. I've only seen a few episodes, to be honest.
Very,
I have no problem
very
with
topical
it.
This week. I believe was yeah. it the principal, the
Mr.
principal,
Feeny.
Or Miss yeah, yeah, that he stopped a burglar at 91 years old. I mean,
yeah. So should we put it on the wheel just for this week in honor of Mr. Feeny stopping a burglar?
Sure. Although I am not very well versed in.
So that's the problem. Is neither of us know the show well. I don't think it's that complicated of a show. We're not going into like. Season 3, episode 7 of The Leftovers that we're going to be like completely lost,
Yeah. Do we need somebody there to hold our hand? I don't want to get, the negative feedback makes me very sad.
I think we'll like it. I think it's a good show.
If somebody's like, oh, you didn't even know that Topanga, that it's a big plot point that she always does, blah, blah, blah.
Topanga just married a podcaster.
Really?
Yeah, she married
the
guy from.
That doesn't narrow it down.
No. Well, it was Antonio Mazzaro.
Slamtonio Mazzaro?
Yes. She married Jensen Karp, who he does a podcast on Earwolf called, I'm blanking on the name right now. I think it just ended yesterday also, after like 500 episodes. What about Jared says season 3, episode 7 of The Muppet Show. Season 3, episode 7 guest is Alice Cooper. I think it would be fun for you guys to comment about the various skits and music.
Are we putting Boy Meets World into the fish tank?
I think so. I think we're putting Boy Meets World in the fish tank. We could take it off. It might be a 1 week only fish tank in honor of Mr. Feeny.
Okay. Stopping a burglar. Okay.
Also, Muppet Show, you're saying yes?
Yes.
Okay. We're putting the Muppet Show on. Oh, could you imagine if people like down? People are expecting a classic episode of Your Tweets Are Trash. Can you imagine if Saturday morning people get up and they see season 3, episode 7 of The Muppet Show, which wasn't even on the wheel? They'll be so confused.
Yeah. Maybe we'll call it just the backwards episode.
Yeah, we'll call it the backwards episode. It's a surprise what happens. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're spoiling the whole first half of the podcast.
Yeah.
One more thing. John Tinkham says, thoughts on season 3, episode 7 of RHAP's Survivor coverage. It would be the Redemption Island episode that Stephanie Valencia was eliminated on. That week saw the Stephanie exit interview and a recap with Tyson on the podcast with Rob.
I think it's a little too meta. I think it's
high concept. I appreciate his... He probably had to like do 20 minutes of research just to figure out what the episode
John
was.
John has
also
a lot
like.
Of great outside-the-box ideas, but I think that one might be too confusing.
Yeah, I do. I like the thought process he put in. Oh, Cassie says, season 3, episode 7, Fishbowl, Duke Gilmore Girls. The episode title is called They Shoot Gilmores, Don't They? Of course, you'd have to have professed Gilmore Girls stan Spencer Bledsoe as a guest. Really, she just wants the young lad back on RHAP. Loving the podcast. Keep up the great work.
See, everybody thinks it's so easy to get a guest. Well, guess what? It's not, because Akiva is halfway around the world. He has certain hours that he can podcast.
Don't blame me. I can podcast every hour. They coincide with
business hours for anybody that works. So it is not easy to, just like wave a wand and get a guest on a podcast.
You know what it is also? The two of us are basically always available.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, like, other people have jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why Akiva and I are so prolific.
Right. There's never a time where there were many, many, many weeks when we recorded Seinfeld where we didn't even like say, hey, are you available like Wednesday? You know, we just understood like we're just doing this Wednesday at 1 or whatever.
Yeah. No. And Akiva has an amazing work ethic, or at least podcast ethic, where that he will podcast at, 3 o'clock in the morning if necessary. But, the guests, you have to make it, convenient for them.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Yeah, so I'm going to say no right now to the Spencer Bledsoe.
Also, people love the Gilmore Girls, and so if you don't have, if you say the wrong thing, people get mad. So
Have you ever seen an episode of the Gilmore Girls? I have not.
And so I think that we're sort of ill-equipped to be able to.
Yeah, I know a little bit because my wife watched it, so I watch a lot of episodes just like being in the room with her. It works better if one of us is an expert and at least one of us is an expert, one isn't. All right. So we added Boy Meets World as a ping pong ball and we added Gilligan's Island. Did we add a third one?
Boy Meets World, Muppet Show and
Muppet Show. Yeah. Okay. We have to take one out though, I was told.
Which one?
Season 3, episode 7 of the Serial podcast is part 2 of an episode that isn't so funny. I happened to listen to it. It was fine, but it will not make sense.
Okay.
For us to
All right. Podcast. So that is out of the fishbowl. Okay.
Yeah, if you can't find it, you can just.
It's very easy to find.
All right, we're ready to spin a wheel.
Okay, spinning the wheel to get to the fish tank.
We may have to spin twice or three times.
Okay, on the wheel right now, CSI New York, Dadcast, which we will not be able to do today if that comes up. Seinfeld, The Wizard, Season 3, Episode 7, which is now, is that a triple spot, I think?
That's a triple spot triple this spot. Week, yes. Three spots.
Okay, then kids' shows are trash. That would be tough to do. Rob's Choice.
No, I think that would be easy to do. I think we could just flip on YouTube. That would be easier than the shows that are going to get us a virus, like trying to find the Muppet Show on some like streaming site.
Rob's Choice, Akiva's Choice, Oregon Trail, Rise and Fall of JTT, and The Wizarding World. All right, Keev. So
yes.
Let me.
And Star Wars.
Oh, and Star Wars. Okay, hold on.
Rob explained Star Wars to Akiva.
So the wheel is launching. Okay. And now we will spin the wonderful. Boy, that season 3, episode 7 is a big chunk. It's roughly about a quarter of the wheel at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
And plus, you consider things like JTT, which we're not actually going to do today. It's a lot of the wheel.
Okay. All right. So here we go with the backwards week wheel spin. Okay. Wheel is going around.
I just realized CSI New York is 40 minutes, Rob. So I'm sort of rooting against that right now.
Okay. We just missed Season 3, Episode 7. It's Seinfeld, The Wizard, Keev.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
All right. So Keev and I are going to take a short break. And then we are going to come back having watched Seinfeld, The Wizard, a podcast that I have already done with Alexander Chester, but I have never
done
it.
You
want
to just listen to that podcast and just like take your notes on it?
Real quick. Okay. So here we go. There will be no break for you, but a break for us. And we'll be right back. Akiva Needle Podcast. But before we get into our main course this week, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor, our friends over at betonline.ag. Keeve, and Keeve, can you believe it? Can you believe it that I had, for the third time this season, I have gone 5-for-5 in my football picks?
Take that, Shaq.
Yeah, take that, Shaq. Although, to be in fairness to the great Shaquille O'Neal, who is one spot ahead of me, I am currently in fourth place right now, three picks off the lead, off the leaderboard.
Who are you behind, Shaq? Who else?
Scott Braun. He is a baseball podcaster. Shaq is in second place. Ross Tucker, who thinks I'm Boston Rob.
Okay.
That he is in third place, and I am tied in fourth place with Rob Riggle and his co-host.
Oh, nice.
Rob and Sarah. I don't know who Sarah is.
Is it his wife, maybe? I don't know.
So I'm right there. I'm right there. So let me give you my week nine picks here in the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge. Of course, the winner of the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge will get to donate $5,000 to a charity of their choice. So a very good cause here. Here we go, Keeve. Week nine picks. This is not with the spread. Give me the Chiefs at the Browns to win. A lot of turmoil with Cleveland. Give me the Patriots versus the Packers. Although I do like that the Packers got rid of a bunch of people that screwed up. So I like that they're sort of like, I like when teams do that.
Do you follow that philosophy with podcasts? Like, if I mess up this episode, you're going to trade me to the Browns?
I feel like that if you were like really screwed up a podcast and mm-hmm. then, you know, I we parted ways and then I brought on a new co-host, I feel like that next podcast would have a lot of juice. Yeah. Come in really fired up.
Who would you replace me with?
I don't know. Let's not get too far into that rabbit hole. But then your next podcast would be a revenge podcast.
Oh, yeah. So, it literally about the TV show Revenge.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And more on that in a second. Then the Vikings, I'll take them against the Lions, who traded away Golden Tate. That's, that wasn't like he screwed up. That's just like, hey, why'd we get rid of Golden Tate? And then give me the Texans, who have Demaryius Thomas against the Broncos. Oh, my God. Revenge game immediately.
Yeah, I do like it. Seems like that happens a lot where a player gets traded and has to immediately play his old team. Back in the 70s, they'd always like trade someone in the middle of a doubleheader and they just switch dugouts. Mm-hmm. You always heard stories like that. But yeah. You didn't pick against the Bears. You didn't pick the Bears against the Bills.
No, well, that's my lock of the week.
Okay.
Bears for a second week in a row. Unfortunately, last week, I had to pick them as the lock of the week, which I was rewarded for. I was rewarded for that.
I mean, you'll be punished when you go to hell for picking against your favorite team, but you're rewarded in this world.
Look, everybody knows, never pick Todd Bowles' Jets on the road. Everybody knows that. All right. So here we go. BetOnline.ag, of course. They are the sponsor of the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge. Of course, because I went 5-for-5 last week, they will be giving $100 credits to five of our listeners. Just use the hashtag Sportsnet Challenge and your account number on Twitter to be able to be eligible for that promotion. Having so much fun online with all of the options on BetOnline.ag. Use the code Podcast1 to receive that 50% welcome bonus. So much going on. If you are a huge sports fan like Akiva, you know this is such a great time of the year to get in on all the action on betonline.ag. There's drama in LA with the Lakers. Is that true, Keeve?
Yeah, they keep losing. I mean, there's no drama. I'm enjoying it, but I guess, they're upset about it.
Toronto and Denver are off to hot starts. Alabama and the Rams are dominating in football. Nashville is starting very strong in hockey. Is that true also?
Yeah, Johnny DeSilvera, who we're about to talk about, a big Nashville Predators fan. He'll be happy to hear that.
There's only one place to get in on all that action, betonline.ag. Don't wait any longer. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook expert and the exclusive partner of the Podcast One Sportsnet. Use promo code PODCAST1 to receive that 50% sign-up bonus. That's Podcast One for that 50% sign up bonus at betonline.ag. Seinfeld, the wizard, is over and has been for quite some time, and I've been podcasting about it once before, but we're just getting started here on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, backwards episode of Seinfeld, the wizard. And now, here are the two guys who are the Snoopy and Prickly Pete of podcasting. I'm Rob Sestrino, back with Akiva Winograd. Akiva, how are you?
I'm great. Should we explain why we're doing this? Because I feel like we maybe explained it when we put it on the wheel, but people might be confused why we're talking about a random episode of Seinfeld that's not even season 3, episode 7.
Go ahead.
So when we did the Seinfeld podcast, we did it every week, and we were very consistent, and we never missed a week. But one week, we were almost done, and I was going away, and Chester had always wanted to do an episode, and I think someone had asked if Chester could replace me at some point. And we said we'd put it to a vote on Twitter. And we did a Twitter poll, and we gave Chester a curve. He only had to get 40% of the vote to win.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of bot accounts being started on both sides, because there were some hardcore Chester stands and obviously a lot of never Chesters. And
there are hardcore Chester stands?
Well, yeah, there was like two of them. I mean, they're probably Chester with his like own. You know, Chester starting a bot accounts. I think it was a lot of fake news, but Chester got 41% of the vote, which happened to be enough to let him do the episode. I was in Mexico. I did not do the episode, but then a lot of people said afterwards, hey, doesn't it upset you that you never really completed the Seinfeld journey that you set out to accomplish? Mm-hmm. Like, you and I only podcasted about 179 of the 180 Seinfeld episode. I listened to the episode about the wizard, but I was not on it. So here we are. We're going to finish our journey 15 months after you talked about The Wizard, 4.5 years after we started the Seinfeld podcast.
Okay, so this will be a nice surprise for people when I put this in the Seinfeld post-show recaps feed as well. And if you're listening to this in the Seinfeld post-show recaps feed, this is part of a new podcast that I do with Akiva on Rob's podcast called Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, where every week we spin a wheel and talk about something random. So you could subscribe and leave us feedback at robhasawebsite.com/nap. That's short for Need a Podcast. robiswebsite.com/nap. You should subscribe to that as well. All right. Key.
Yes.
So if I recall, I feel like that Chester did a really good job filling in for you. Was that your takeaway?
Yeah. Now, I never listened to any of my podcasts. I don't like the sound of my own voice. I feel like most people don't. So I never listened to the Seinfeld podcast except for that episode because I wasn't on it. And I thought he did do a pretty good job. I thought it was... a very smooth episode. I get why people like the Seinfeld show, at least, you know, the you part. I've never heard of the me part on it, but I'm sure it was fine.
Okay, so on August 12th, 2017, I will post the link in the show notes for that if you want to hear the original Rob and Chester recap of this episode. I will try not to make the same jokes. What I did was I took my notes from that episode, and then I built onto my notes from that episode. Mm. So hopefully I will be able to avoid making whatever jokes. But I did not listen to that podcast beforehand, so I may say the same things. If people want to, if anybody wants to do a side-by-side of the Robin Akiva version of this episode and the Robin Chester, and then vote on which was better. Somebody should do it.
Okay.
You know, and then give us like a report of, you know, who had the better points about the episode. But Keith, here we are back talking about a Seinfeld episode, and this is pretty deep in the run of Seinfeld. This is episode number 171.
Yeah, only 9 more to go after this. It's late in season 9. I will add, by the way, this is the first episode, full episode of Seinfeld I've watched in the last year.
Yeah.
I have not watched. I feel like I needed a cleanse. I will get back into it. I'm going to do another, you know, full watch, and maybe I'll do something like along with it, like I'll take notes or something. But I needed to take a break. I imagine you haven't watched too much Seinfeld since we finished a year ago.
No, I haven't. And so this is a good, you know, test balloon for whether or not we should do the whole series again for another round of podcasts.
True. People do want us to do that. We'll put it on the wheel. It just has to show up in order. Like, we'll put an episode at a time on the wheel.
Yeah. Also, the one of the reasons why we needed to get, like, we didn't want to miss a week. We had two big things that were going on. Was one, that we wanted to, that Curb Your Enthusiasm was coming back.
Yes.
And season 9 of Curb Your Enthusiasm was going to coincide exactly with where we were going to leave off with Seinfeld. So if we skipped a week, then that was going to throw us off, where we'd have to do a Curb podcast and the Seinfeld podcast all in one week. And that was going to be probably, you know, messing with our math. And then we also had a live show coming up, and I'm not sure if that would screwed us up either.
Yeah, it's almost the 1 year anniversary of that live show, or the last episode we did.
Okay. All right. So Seinfeld, the Wizard, Keith, a lot going on here. Some interesting stuff. Just to set up the plot points for people, because I'm sure a lot of people did not have advance notice. I know a lot of people would go back and watch the episode and then had questions for us, just to reset all of the storylines. What's going on here is that Jerry is going down to Del Boca Vista. Is this the last time we were going to see Jerry's parents in Florida, other than leaving at the finale episodes?
Yeah, I think so. I believe this is it.
So this was sort of a farewell to Del Boca Vista. Jerry goes down there, and he has a wizard organizer for his dad that he's going to give as a birthday gift. But what he is surprised to see is that Kramer ends up, after going into early retirement, he moves into Del Boca Vista and then is put up into trying to become the head of the Del Boca Vista condo board. And so there's a whole election going on there. So lots of, again, good election week episode, Keith.
Yeah, this is very, yeah, it's very pertinent. Yeah, this is the
very
second
topical.
Yeah, very topical. A lot of lessons to learn if you're someone running for office next week. You know, don't repeat Kramer's mistakes. And it is really a rehash of Morty Seinfeld's previous run for the condo board president.
Yes. And then also we have George, who has a run-in with Susan's parents, the Rosses, and tries to get out of doing something with them by telling them that he has a home in the Hamptons that he has been going to. And then ultimately the Rosses will call him on that bluff. And Elaine has a situation going on where she is dating a gentleman, and she has questions about what is the ethnicity of her new boyfriend in this episode. And this is interesting because when this episode aired in 1998, there were a lot of questions and issues dealing with race in our country. And luckily, over the last 20 years, those have all been resolved.
Yep.
Akiva.
Yep. Solved. It's almost like hard to imagine the idea of people having these types of problems, because it's
where
so far
the topic
in the past
of race could be uncomfortable. Yes, luckily we have worked it all out.
I think Seinfeld was actually the show to really solve it.
And things haven't gotten worse.
No, way better.
Okay. All right. Keeve. All right. So a lot to talk through. I guess let's anything else you want to say as we open up Seinfeld the Wizard?
No, I'm excited to see if we still have it, you know, if we could still, like, throw 95 on the black and, you know, talking about a Seinfeld episode from February 26, 1998, over 20 years now.
Okay. All right. Keeve, we open with Jerry and George in Monk's Diner, and George is reading the newspaper, and he tells Jerry that any story about China is a page turner for him. Can you relate to that?
You know what's funny? Like, I do some news, like my work, we come across a lot of news, and I find that the world news stuff for, like, an American audience just does not do well. Like, if it's not about Americans do not care.
Now, when I go to sites like the Daily Mail, though,
yes,
it's all American news.
Well, you probably go to, like, the U.S. version of the Daily Mail.
Oh, is that what's going on there?
I think they have two now. I think now they have two. But yes, Europeans care much more about world news than Americans do.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. How about this? How many world leaders do you think you could name?
I'm going to throw some of the more.
Okay. All right, Germany.
Angela Merkel.
That's good. Not to be confused with Angela Bloom. Aforementioned. North Korea.
I want to make sure I get this right. Kim Jong-un?
Yes. I think you were... Okay. Yeah. It's okay. His father was what? Kim Jong-il, I think?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, China.
I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I believe it's XI.
Yes. G.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Does that count?
Yeah,
that
Xi Jinping. Yeah, that's very good. All right, you're okay. Listen. You're like a regular. Who you know? UK. Do you know who's the Prime Minister of the UK?
Theresa May.
Yeah, look at you. You know everything.
Okay. I almost said Theresa Cooper to be
Theresa Cooper.
She's had her in my brain for a lot of this week.
All right. Yeah, she's in charge of the T-Bird Party. They lost to the Tories in the last election. All right, that's pretty good. So you know, so you're a bad example because you know every world leader, clearly. But I feel like if we gave the average like person on the street in like Duluth, Minnesota a test, they would get it wrong. I think, so China news, not so interesting. Chester, who did this podcast, his brother is like a China expert. That's his job. He just like knows stuff about like the Chinese economy and like goes on TV and talks about it.
Not a page turner for him.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's boring for everyone else, but for him, it's a page turner.
Is he from Duluth, Minnesota?
They're from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So the hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all the same. Middle America is all the same to me.
All right. So Jerry has gotten a wizard organizer for $200. A wizard organizer, $200 in 1998. What's the street value of that? About like $400 now? I mean, this is like an iPhone.
I mean, an old wizard or something that does like the wizard tasks. I remember like the Palm Pilots being in the hundreds. 200 seems expensive for an organizer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is expensive, and it doesn't really seem like Jerry seems to be talking up like all the features in this. And while Morty is excited about the calculator function, Jerry's like, "No, you can have a timer also, and remind you to take your pills also. And you could put contact information in there too."
Yeah, it's crazy how little these we got so excited if they, you know, these do these little tasks that now like if someone gave this to you for free now, you wouldn't use it.
Yeah. Okay. Let me see. So $200 in inflation to $2017 at least would be $300.76.
Yeah. I mean, you could get a lot of good stuff for $376. It doesn't just calculate tips.
Okay. Jerry says that, look, it doesn't matter. He's going to tell his dad that he got it for $50, and Morty is going to be impressed because he likes getting the deal. Okay. So George has a message from Susan's parents, and they want him to go do something. What do they need George to do?
I think they want him to go to some function for the foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is going to skip out on that. And he feels that deep down, they blame him for Susan's death.
Yeah, he's sure of it. And as Jerry points out, oh, is that because you're to blame for Susan's death?
Yeah, George doesn't blame himself, though, for Susan's death.
I mean,
death,
George
right?
doesn't have a lot of like self-awareness or sort of like internal moral compass. I mean, and again, and we've discussed this before, like, is George to blame? Like, yes, he went cheap, but if you... You know, if you go, it's not like he went cheap on airbags for a car, right? And then she was killed in a car accident. He went cheap on something that would not be considered dangerous. Like if you bought someone, right. if someone you were in a relationship, wanted a $50 pen and you said, here, take this Bic, and the Bic exploded and killed them, you'd be like, I don't know if we'd blame you for the for the exploding pen.
It's an accident. It's an accident. Okay. Here comes Elaine with her new boyfriend, and his name is Daryl.
Yes, Daryl is another one-off boyfriend. I do wonder what the casting call looked like for Daryl, right? Like, we need a like an ethnically vague actor.
Yeah, I think more interesting than what ethnicity is Daryl. I'm not sure if I talked about this on the Chester podcast. How old is Daryl?
Oh, that's
because,
a good question.
He looks like he's 18.
He does have a youngish face. Maybe it's because he has the type of face that he looks like he can't grow any facial hair. Mm-hmm. The actor's name is Samuel Bliss Cooper. So he's born in 1972. JLD, do you want to guess when Elaine is born?
I would guess that she is somewhere in her 50s, and so I will say that she is born 1964.
Yeah, she's a little older than that. She's born 1961. She's actually older than my mom, same year. And so she's 11 years younger than Samuel Bliss Cooper. By the way,
Oh, 11 years older.
11 years older, excuse me, than her boyfriend. Samuel Bliss Cooper, this was really the highlight. He was a vamp lackey on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. This is his first role, Seinfeld. He plays a character called Bad Guy on a show, The District, and he's basically been out of Hollywood for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
You just look too young. People didn't want to cast, such a baby face.
So Elaine introduces him to the friends and says, these are some people I know, and then basically ushers him out of Monk's.
I guess she's like, is she afraid of what they're going to say? She's just embarrassed of them in general?
I think she's more embarrassed of them in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she has no reason to think about what she's going to say, because she says to Jerry, hey, what do you think? And Jerry is the one that says, oh, about you dating a black guy? And she is taken aback. She's like, wait, he's black?
Right. It's interesting that Elaine's intentions were... right, like she didn't know, and then when he puts the seed in her head, then it's all she could think about. Before then, she doesn't know. By the way, we could also view this episode through the context of the writer for this episode is a guy named Steve Luckner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were, we discussed him a little bit on the in previous episodes, but if I'm not mistaken, Steve Luckner is like the most right wing member of the Seinfeld writing crew. I believe he did some like conservative media afterwards.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with Steve at all. So it's interesting that
I am not Akiva. Right?
Well, neither. No, I'm just saying. I think we may have discussed this at some point. Because we wanted to have him on.
Not sure what you're implying.
No, I'm not implying anything. I just remember talking about it. We didn't know much about him. We talked about having him on, but then someone said like, "Oh, he's got like really weird politics." He does mostly news now, it looks like. It is interesting that he is made. You know, like that he is writing this episode, maybe, you know, to view it through his eyes.
Yes. It's interesting here. Elaine is asking Jerry some follow-up questions about this. George says that he thinks that Daryl looks Irish.
Yeah, he doesn't really look Irish. I do think...
I know we are Irish experts after covering the Leprechaun last week.
Yeah, I mean, and we're going to do all five or six or whatever. So we're going to know literally everything there is to know about Ireland. Quick, who's the Prime Minister of Ireland?
I have no idea.
Nobody knows. Even the people in Dublin don't know.
Yeah. So there's a question about what is his last name? What is Daryl's last name?
Isn't it Nelson?
It's Nelson, and I'm not sure. I've never attached any sort of...
I think that's probably why they picked it, right? Nelson is a very vague name. It could be a white person. It could be an African-American person. It could really be...
I mean, well, look, who are the famous country. Nelsons?
Okay, Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson. Okay, Willie Nelson is... I'm not sure what his background is, but he's an old white guy that smokes a lot of pot.
Yeah. There's Jordy Nelson in the NFL.
Jordy Nelson. Those were the two that I thought
Don
of.
Nelson,
off the top of my head.
The old Don basketball Nelson. Coach. But then there are a lot of African American Nelsons too in the NFL.
Like who?
Didn't the Jets have like a receiver named Nelson? I'm blanking on his name right now.
Hmm. I don't know. Last name Nelson.
They had a guy Robert Nelson. They had David Nelson. Yeah, there's a lot of Nelsons in the NFL. I don't think that. Right. I'm just saying it's. I think they specifically picked a name that could swing in any direction. There would be no.
Yeah, it's hard because there's a lot of like first name Nelsons, but famous last name Nelsons.
Famous. Yeah. If you get famous Nelsons, it's going to be like Nelson Figueroa.
Yeah. I mean, there's like Nelson Mandela, but that's a first name.
Right.
So, let's see. Celebrities, famous people whose last name is Nelson. So, yeah, I don't know if there's like a... Yeah, Jordy Nelson is up there. It's like a Family Feud question. Oh, Craig T. Nelson.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, there are a lot of
voice
famous Nelsons.
Voice of the Mr. Incredible.
Yeah. And so, also, it is mentioned that his family's South African, right? So,
yes.
You know, it's not impossible that someone would have their name be after Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's why it was a good episode that Chester was on.
Well, if Chester is South African, that's true.
Yeah. So there was some synergy there. What's your connection?
South Africa? I don't know. I've never been there. I do remember there was a big thing. Chester's family like was going to some high school reunion in South Africa during the Super Bowl last year, and like the Vikings were about to be in it. It was a big mess. But I've never been. Maybe we'll take a class trip there. We'll do a podcast. We'll put it on the wheel. Rob and Akiva do a podcast live from Johannesburg.
Now, George is the one person in this episode that seems to have apprehension about this. That he says a couple times, like, should we be talking about this?
Right. They keep saying that.
And frankly, I've asked myself the same question.
Sure. I bet that conversation was like sort of happening in the writer's room. Like, can we do this? Can we do this? They probably tried to go like harder. I remember reading at the time. At the time we podcast about it, not the time that this episode came out, because it wasn't a particularly controversial episode. Mm-hmm. You know, like that they were. I think the original subplot here is that Elaine gets lost in Harlem, and they just didn't know how to like. Yeah, I think they thought like, all right, this doesn't work, and then they changed it to Elaine has a boyfriend, which makes sense. Actually, if you think about this episode, it's a rare episode where there's really no connection between the three storylines. The only real interaction, other than this first scene, that we see between the storylines is when Jerry, that like sort of throwaway scene where Jerry calls Elaine and George and they discuss like, you know, getting the mail and flushing the toilet, which is a very cuttable scene also. Mm-hmm. Right. But am I crazy? Like do we see many episodes like this where the Jerry Kramer and Flores stuff has no connection to the Elaine dating ethnically vague person, and then George with the Rosses has no connection to any of them either. You know, forget about tie together. There's almost nothing.
Elaine runs into the Rosses at one
True.
Point.
Yes,
so
Elaine does mess up George's storyline. That is fair. But then the yeah. Florida stuff is really devoid of any connect to the New York stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is some, uncomfortableness between the three people in the scene. The waitress comes over, who is African-American. They just throw a bunch of money at her. They've realized that maybe they shouldn't be talking about this.
Well, I didn't write down which one, but one of the two waitresses here is Constance Zimmer, who ended up becoming like a relatively big star, who's like a star of her own show.
Well, good for Constance Zimmer.
Yeah.
George ends up calling up Mrs. Ross. So this is where we find out that the Ross Foundation is having an event this weekend, but George has to go to his house in the Hamptons.
Why are they inviting George to this event?
I don't know. He was on the board at one point of the Human Fund. The Human Fund was those that he made. Yeah. He made up.
Yeah, the Susan Ross Foundation.
But he was on the board. I mean, maybe that he needs to be there as part of, you know, holding this we're out of the Seinfeld loop. But I mean, I think he was he never got fired from the board.
I don't think so.
Right?
I think he was sort of disgraced and like probably doesn't go to meetings anymore after he taped everything. But, you know, and clearly like he knows at this point that they don't like him. You know, when he hid the tape recorder and stuff. But yeah, it's weird that they invited him, but maybe they need like all hands on deck for this meet, you know, like maybe it just looks good to have the fiance there. Cause not everyone on the street knows that, you know, George is perhaps culpable in Susan's death.
George Costanza, professional liar, is the house in the Hamptons a good lie? Did he end up going into something that was going to be difficult for him to ultimately be able to keep the lie going?
It's interesting because, first of all, leasing a house in the Hamptons, like once he gets into the specifics of how expensive it is, then it really gets out of his price range. But you could go in with, you know, he could be lying. And sometimes people get these sort of group share, like timeshare things for the summer. You know, where it's like a group of eight guys and they rent out a house and it's like expensive, but not, you know, prohibitively expensive for like a 40-year-old man who, you know, has a real job. The thing is that they know probably through Susan that he's like an unemployable loser for the most part. You know, they know about the Yankees stuff, but other than that, like his work history is obviously, very sporadic. I know they have to know that he doesn't have any money. So it's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, but he says in one scene that he's been lying about his income for years. So
True.
He thinks he can afford
right.
a fake house.
He can get
house.
Up to a fake but, house. I don't know. Again, he ultimately is a pathological liar. So even if he made $10 million a year, you don't necessarily have to believe anything he says.
I personally think that this was a bad lie because, I mean, the idea that the Rosses might end up being out in the Hamptons
yeah,
at some point.
Sure.
Like, there's a non-zero chance
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, they're so fancy New Yorkers. They could for sure end up in the Hamptons summertime.
Right. Like, he would have been better off saying, like, you know, I
got to work Saturdays.
Right. You know, I have box seats at the Long Island Ducks. I need to be out there every weekend.
Wow. I think 180 episodes is our first Long Island Duck shout out.
So it's like he needed to pick something that there's nothing that the Rosses no way would want to
is that like the least,
be involved.
The least likely place they'll show up.
I don't know. Do they have suites at the Long Island Duck Stadium?
I mean, they're probably like $12 to sit in the front. I've never been to a Long Island. I don't even know what town the Long. I think it's Suffolk County.
Yeah, it is somewhere in Suffolk. And I apologize to our Long Island listeners.
We're Nassau County. You know, we're not really Long Island people. We're Nassau County people. So I don't know anything about Suffolk County. No offense to my grandfather.
Don't at Akiva, people. All right.
My grandpa lives in Suffolk County. I don't actually hate it.
Okay. So we see Kramer come in, and Kramer is talking about, hey, it's time to celebrate. Remember that coffee table book? Well, they've optioned it for a movie.
Yeah. I remember a lot of people writing in and being like, how is this possible? But nowadays it seems much more like you wouldn't bat an eye if you saw this headline now.
Yeah. And Kramer says, hey, do you remember that photo book on toy ray guns? And George politely says yes. And Kramer says they turned that into Independence
Day. I do like that he's like retroactively starting this amazing rumor.
Mm-hmm. And so he's hanging it up. He's getting out of the grind. No more working for Kramer.
Right. I mean, we found out that he was actually on strike for you know, most of the run of the entire run of the show, that he was on strike mm-hmm. from H&H Bagels. Right. But now, yeah. You know, now that that's over, he's ready to retire.
Not for anything. So we have Kramer gets a windfall in this episode. They option the coffee table book. We never hear about the movie project for the coffee table book or this large amount of money that Kramer has come into in this episode again in the rest of the series run.
No. And again, we've established that Kramer is a drug dealer. That's how he has his money. So this is all mm-hmm. secondary income for him. And when you sell a movie, you make a decent amount of money. So he's probably doing okay at this point. Plus, his apartment's probably rent controlled. He's very limited expense.
Elaine ends up going to Daryl's house. She hears music coming from his apartment. I think she assumes that it's coming from Daryl's apartment. She feels like, aha, I think that this must mean, okay, if he's listening to rap music, this is telling her that, okay, then he must be an African-American, because who else would listen to a rap song, Akiva? I've never heard one before, right?
I mean, it is, right. I guess in the 90s, that would have made sense. Like, they have to sort of do stereotypical things here. By the way, we discussed the name Nelson, but we didn't really discuss that the name, like, Daryl is not a Nelson equivalent, right?
Yeah, to be fair, Daryl Strawberry is the most famous Daryl, but also Daryl Hammond of SNL fame.
Well, and Daryl Hannah also. So, yeah, maybe we're wrong. Daryl is even, you know, multigender. So maybe we're totally wrong here.
There's also Daryl Dawkins, NBA great. Yeah. You know, not a ton of famous Daryls. So a small sample size.
Yeah, okay, fair.
So Elaine comes in and then Daryl shows her around that he has a bunch of masks in his apartment. And Elaine asks if they have any cultural significance.
Right. They're from Africa.
Yeah. He's kind of indignant about it. He's like, they're African.
Yeah. And they end up being from South Africa, which, again, they're sort of 50-50 balling all these by, you know, throwing everyone down the middle.
Mm-hmm. And he claims that his family had to leave South Africa for obvious reasons.
Yes.
Elaine is just as confused as ever.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't know, you know, it's fun, like, watching the episode, you don't know what the answer is also. Like, the first time you see this episode, you're like, I don't know. Is he black? Is he white? Is he Hispanic? We have no idea.
We see George talking to a hot dog vendor, which I did find this to be very funny, that he's asking the hot dog vendor, so you must really love hot dogs or you hate hot dogs. And he's making conversation with the guy for no reason. The guy finally asks him, are you going to buy something or no?
Yeah, I feel like this was a conversation that happened in the writer's room and they just shoehorned it into this episode. It's funny. Johnny points out that the actor is a guy named Mike McShane, who also plays Frank Delano Romanowski, right, who puts a curse on Kramer. So, but it's not FDR selling hot dogs, or is George making conversation with FDR? It's a little strange that, like, it's one thing, you know, we see so many occasions of Seinfeld having the same actor play multiple roles. But once they have like a prominent role, it's weird to bring them back for, you know, I've heard like on podcasts where an actor sometimes, like the podcasters, like sometimes like a comedian who will be like, do like bit parts, like guest spots on TV. And they'll talk about how, like, oh, well, you know, my agent said don't do this one line on The Good Place because then you're wasted on the show because they only use you once. Seinfeld mm-hmm. did not have that problem. They were like, yeah, yeah, do a line in season 7. We'll bring you back in season 9. We'll make you the star of the episode. No one will remember. No one will care.
Right, because the betrayal, the backwards episode, not of this podcast, had already aired earlier in that season. That was episode number 8 of season 9 of Seinfeld. And here we are, The Wizard, episode number 15 of season 9 of Seinfeld. Why can't it be FDR?
You know, it can be. I feel like maybe you'd bring it up. Maybe there was more to this because this scene has no real bearing to the rest of the episode. If there was like a subplot within this George C. story of hot dogs, but it could be FDR. Maybe, but maybe he would have put a curse on him then or something.
Maybe the Rosses spot George talking to the hot dog vendor, and so they will be curious as to his whereabouts after this.
I mean, listen, they never believed George to begin with, but his story's falling apart.
Okay. Next up, we go down to Del Boca Vista, and we see Jerry's parents waking him up. They say they let him sleep in. It's 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah. By the way, you know, we were very critical of a lot of the Florida episodes during the course of the show, but I do really, I like, especially since this is the last time we're spending, you know, other than, like you said, when we see them in the finale time in Florida, I do think we leave on a good note here. I do like the Florida stuff in this episode.
Okay, it's Morty's birthday, and so he says a weird line to Jerry about how, you know, Jerry has a birthday present. He says, I should be buying you presents.
Right, which makes sense. Like, usually it's parents buying their kids presents.
Yeah, but not when it's the parents' birthday.
Yeah, I guess, but you buy your mom birthday presents? I don't buy my parents' birthday. You do? You're a good son. I'm a bad. I mean, the thing is, I have three sisters, so it's more like, hey, moron, like we bought mom something, just like pay for.
Who's the moron?
It's them calling me a moron. My three sisters, my three little sisters, like, hey, we bought them something, just like chip in or whatever. But really, we only do it for round numbers, like 50 or next year, my dad's 60th. I'm sure we'll have to get him something.
Mm-hmm. So one present every 10 years. That's good.
By the way, I don't get any presents from my parents anymore. Mm. I don't get I stopped getting presents when I used to live near them, maybe, but like, I don't get presents from them. And also, because I have kids, so they'll just buy more stuff for my kids, their grandkids. Like, they'll.
That's very practical.
Yeah, even like if they showed up on my birthday, they'd bring stuff for my children, but not for me.
Yeah.
And by the way, Hanukkah works the same way. I haven't gotten a Hanukkah present since I was a kid. My kids will get 8 and I'll get 0.
And then do you and Mara exchange any Hanukkah gifts?
And we don't get each other birthday presents anymore.
See, that's good. See, that I like.
There's no pressure. I get 0 gifts because my wife will buy
I really like what you're doing there.
Yeah. And I don't know if I don't know if you should credit the whole religion or just mine and my wife's apathy.
No, but I know that I know a lot of Jewish friends that, you know, they have the same sort of thing. And that sounds so much better.
It's funny because a lot of Jewish kids are like, oh, man, the presents look so great. And you're saying the opposite. Mm-hmm. You're like, the best part of Judaism would be like, you don't have to do presents. There's so much pressure, especially like, because it's almost, is it bigger than birthday? It is bigger than birthday, right? The Christmas
bigger
present?
Bigger than birthday,
so that's two, because it's a nightmare. If I have to do a birthday present, which again, I don't do nowadays, but I used to, and it would be jewelry, which I know nothing about. So then you have to get the friend involved. Do you ever do that? Like, do you ever get your wife's friend involved? Like, well, tell me what my wife likes, because I don't know. I don't know. Like, I barely know, like, the difference between, like, a necklace and an earring. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you pick it out, I'll pay for it.
And the 8 days of presents is really so one thing a day, because, you know, it's like a present orgy all at once, open everything, and an hour later, everybody's miserable.
It's true. The thing, and also you have to structure them. You open with a big one, and then you close. But then, like, day 3 through 6 are mostly, like, here's one sock. Get the other sock.
I would nail that.
You would nail that? For the kids, or you mean you'd be good at getting 8 small presents for Nicole?
Well, you said I don't have to get any presents
for Nicole.
You don't have to get any
presents for Nicole. But it would probably be easier to do 8 small ones than one big one, to be honest. Because, like, here's a shirt, here's a pen. Yeah, like, but the thing is, you have to prepare beforehand, because you have to get, and they have to be like, you can't give one kid something really good and the other kid, like, a pair of socks. You know, they have to be commensurate with each other. So we're already like you know, my wife will like, hey, yeah. I got this. Be like, oh, cool, let's give it to my son. He'll really like it. She'll be like, no, 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 no. Come on. We got to wait. We're not wasting. If I do this, I got to buy 8 more. Like, you got to start saving up now.
Right. And there's not like a million Hanukkah parties for weeks before. And you have to go to a million different Hanukkah parties.
Well, it's not a season as much because it's 8 days. The one interesting thing also is that there's no main day at all of Hanukkah. Like, there's no one day that's mm-hmm. bigger than the others. So you could sort of always get out of stuff.
And the other thing, and I'm sorry for gushing so much about, you know, the upside of the Hanukkah. Yeah. But then you get Christmas also, and you can do whatever you want. You go to the movies.
Yeah, Chinese food.
There's nobody around. There's no traffic.
And you get all the good stuff. Other than the presents, you do get the good stuff. First of all, it is true, especially having, you know, lived in the city for so long. Like, New York City is a delight. People are actually nice. Like, December 10th on, you feel it in the air. Like, there's a real environment of like, people are friendlier and everyone's happy. And then, January 2nd, people are miserable again. But there is, like, you do get the good parts of that. I like the lack of pressure of doing anything, but it is a little like, it's upsetting because you, like, I want to work on December 25th, you know, like, there's nothing to do. So it's a little weird, like, everyone's doing something, and I'm like, all right, let's, you know, I want to, like, you want to hang out, or you want to do something, and it's like, oh, never, everyone else is busy. Everyone's invited to a party that you're not invited to. So there's a little bit of that.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't like going to parties, so then maybe it works. I don't even know how we got on.
talking about presents. All right. So anyway, Morty Seinfeld is very excited to get the wizard because Jerry says it's hot. And Morty Seinfeld is very keen on the idea you could figure out the tips. Keeve, now, do you ever figure out the tips, or is this all that you leave this to your wife? Your wife is figuring out the tips.
No, first of all, I do the math. I'm pretty good at math, so I just do it in my head. I don't need a calculator.
But you talk about how she pays all of the,
she writes checks. But yeah, no, when we go out to a restaurant, like, I mean, I guess we each have a credit card, but I will physically pay.
All right. So this is when Kramer comes in. Jerry, very excited or very, very blown away that Kramer is there. Kramer is unusually tan here in this scene. It's 5:30 in the morning. I'm not sure if we missed a day. It's not acknowledged. You notice how red Michael Richards is in this scene?
Yeah, I wonder, like, what they were doing. If they were, like, outside, it is weird, right?
I feel like it's his first day, but maybe he's been here for a while.
You think it's fake? Did they, like, put makeup on him? I'm not sure if they're trying to tell us something.
I'm not sure if there was a cut scene or what, but they don't really explain other than, I guess, that, you know, he's been in Florida and maybe got super tan. Yeah. And so Kramer has moved in next door to the Seinfelds. Are you buying Kramer is up at 5:30 in the morning?
Yeah, I could see it. If you live down there, you have to live by their schedule because, again, it would be like being a Jew on Christmas. Like, everyone else is asleep and you're, you know, first getting your night started at 8 o'clock. You're not going to do anything.
Jerry says, Kramer, you can't move in here. This is where people come to die.
It's a rough thing to say in front of your parents, right?
Not you guys, he says to his parents.
That is rough.
Okay.
You make those jokes not in front of those people.
Yeah. Seinfeld does bash the Florida retirement community quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so many notes you could do on, like, the old people living in Florida. And, you know, we're with them for a bunch of episodes. But yeah, like, the guy's waiting room stuff gets a little old.
Yeah, they're cheap. They drive slow. They're up super early. They go to bed early. You know, Seinfeld is, you know, really hits these guys hard.
My wife's grandparents, they live in Florida, and they get up at, like, 9 a.m. You can't call them before 9, and they, like, go to sleep at midnight. I wonder if they're the outlier or if it's, like, a stereotype that's not totally true.
I don't know. So Helen Seinfeld is going to make some breakfast. She offers Kramer a feta cheese omelet. Keeve,
yeah.
Would you be interested in a feta cheese omelet?
I'd eat it. It's not, like, on my don't eat list, which is lengthy, but it's not my favorite thing in the world.
No, and this would not be appetizing to me. And ultimately, she has to have Kramer settle for a cottage cheese omelet and egg beaters.
that I would, you know, wouldn't eat under penalty of death. I would not eat a cottage cheese.
Sounds terrible. Sounds terrible. Okay. Kramer is going to be in a montage. He's playing ping pong. He's just like spiking on a guy. And then he's dancing too rough with a woman. Then the ambulance ends up coming. Keith, did Kramer murder a woman?
I don't think he murdered a woman. He definitely...
I mean, we cut from Kramer dancing very rough with a woman to the ambulance coming.
Right, I think they were maybe, you know, she was taxing herself. I mean, did George murder Susan by picking out the envelopes? I think he was more responsible there. He didn't force her to dance with him. Like, she's at this dance class. But it's possible he's responsible for her death. I think...
He is way more responsible than George was. I mean, we've described how what George did was an accident. If I grab an elderly person and shake them violently and then they pass away, I think I would have to assume some blame.
Sure, but you wouldn't be prosecuted in court.
At the very least, elder abuse.
Yeah. I don't think you'd be prosecuted, but I guess. Yeah, we did go through a lot of... Like, what deaths are the Seinfeld crew to blame? I think Amir had a tally of this. I think we could add this to the tally if we haven't already.
Yeah, I think we could. I think that Kramer got off easy on this one. I mean, forget no shoes in the clubhouse. I mean, this is probably a bigger scandal.
But I guess, like, death is such a common, like, occurrence for them that they don't even,
Yeah, there was no cover-up here.
No, I think it's like, all right, it's this person's time. They don't seem too concerned.
Okay. All right. We see George and Elaine at Monk's, and they're going to talk about the Daryl situation a little bit. Elaine is asking him, okay, what do you think about this? George says, why don't you ask him?
Is it a question you can't ask?
Yeah.
Other than the fact it would ruin the episode, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if we ever got any feedback from the original airing of this episode, but I mean, could Elaine ask some probing questions if she really wanted to know the answer to this about? Like, so tell me about your family.
Well, there's two things. One, it's like, well, why do you care? Right. That, you know, there's like a point where it's too early in the relationship. Like, you can't go on a first date and start asking people's ethnicity. Right. Mm-hmm. And you also can't ask them after like a year of dating because it's like what you should know by then. So I do think there's a very small window where you can ask questions like this. But she may be in that window.
But isn't there a fine line between, you know, how you want to get to know a person that you're seeing? Don't you want to like or shouldn't you be interested in their background?
I think so. But it's like what a lot of times people ask questions. They're sort of fishing for information.
I mean, it's not a job interview.
I understand. I think it's like, oh, this will come out organically. I'll meet their family. I'll learn more about them. And I think, if she's patient and she stays with him, it will come out. So I think like if you don't rush it, you'll find out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So George says maybe he's mixed. Elaine talks about that. Is that the right word? Ron Howard voice says it's not.
Yeah. Do you think Seinfeld could have used the Ron Howard voice more like Arrested Development style? Would that have been funny?
It would have been very ahead of its time.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it would have been Ron Howard. I don't know what he was doing then, but like sort of the equivalent, like a John Voight voice.
Well, they've actually used John Voight. I think that would get confusing.
Right. Ron Howard doesn't actually appear, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I don't know.
So George says again, I don't think we're supposed to be talking about this. He goes to the bathroom and Elaine says she'll talk to Jerry when he gets back. And so Elaine runs into the Rosses and they want to know from Elaine what happened to George's place in the Hamptons. And Elaine laughs and laughs and laughs, says Hamptons. George Costanza, I don't think so.
What? I mean, what a bad friend. Right. And we don't see like a ton of Elaine and George, just the two of them. Obviously, this episode, there is a bunch like if someone was like, hey, I heard like, you know, Rob got a new house in L.A. on the hills. And I would be like, that's impossible. Rob? No way. Mm-hmm. There's no way Rob could own a home. Right. That would make me a bad friend.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that that is part of the premise of the show, that these are bad friends.
Sure.
I do think that this came up in the Chester version of the podcast. What were the Rosses doing in Monk's? Were they that curious in following up? Like, okay, George must always be here. Let me go. Or were the Rosses actually interested in eating at Monk's?
I think both. They're like, maybe it's like, hey, we need lunch. Hey, let's go there. And maybe we're into George since he's there three times a day. We could kill two birds with one stone. Mm-hmm. Two people with one envoy.
George tells them that, look, it's what a great Hamptons weekend this was. And George may move there eventually one day. He loves the Hamptons so much. I do love when he's leaving, he points to them and tells the Rosses, okay, keep it real.
Yeah, keep it. And that's ahead of its time. People weren't really saying keep it real in 98.
When did they start saying
that? I think 2000. 2000 was when they started saying keep it real.
Okay. All right. Morty is out to lunch with Jerry and with Helen, and he's going to use the tip calculator. He decides that the service was slow and they didn't refill the water. 12.4% tip.
I mean, for Jerry, for what we know about Morty Costanza, that, like, if you're getting double digits, you got to be happy as a waiter.
That is pretty good. Yeah, you would think so
for Morty.
Because, like, what's the baseline? Is the baseline, 15? He said, I mean, so they drop it down to 12.4. I mean, 15 is like standard, like, I feel like you're not doing anything.
Yeah, that's baseline.
20 is generous.
Yeah, 15, yeah. Like, you're not getting dirty looks, I don't think.
Yeah,
but again, there are supposedly a lot of bad tippers in the sort of Boca community. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, people know if you get Morty Seinfeld, like, no waitress wants his table.
Keith, when you go someplace and they tell you that the gratuity is included, do you need to tip on top of that? Like, when I was in Reno,
yes.
I had a lot of stuff going on, and so I called for room service. I had to do my exit interview, and then I had another podcast. Mm-hmm. And so rather than go downstairs and get breakfast, I said, let me just order up room service to the room and then get like a pot of coffee and have that while I'm doing all the podcasts. Mm-hmm. And so gratuity was included, but I did feel like a goon when the guy came up to the room and he said gratuity was included, but I felt like that I should have given, and I didn't have any cash.
Right,
on
at
me.
A restaurant, you know, when they say like, oh, you're a big group, so it's whatever it is, 18% or 20 or whatever the, you know, the mandatory gratuity is, then I don't think it would be weird to tip unless you had exceptional service. But right, for the room, is that going to him, the gratuity that's included? You know, that would make me nervous.
Who knows?
That's what I'm saying. So that's why I don't think it would be crazy for you to tip. Because I'm not sure that's going to
happen. He was the one that brought it up.
Okay.
He told me, like, they told me on the phone, and then he said it again. He also said, and gratuity is included in this.
Okay, so I think you're fine. If he's saying
I'm off the hook. If
he says it, then you're off the hook. Off the hook was an expression also that started in 2000.
Yeah, he didn't, and he also didn't say it like, gratuity is included, but ...
Yeah.
It wasn't a hanging gratuities included.
I know. I guess if it's included, you could also get it with anything. Like if you threw like a couple bucks at him, it wouldn't be it wouldn't be like rude. It's not like you're giving him even if your room service was $100, it's not like you're tipping him 2%.
Yeah. Okay. So we hear Morty talking about the election coming up, and Jerry has a little bit of a reset about how that's right, you were impeached at the other condo. But he says he resigned.
Yeah, well, he was impeached, right? It's like Rich Kotite saying he quit. My friend once ran into him, and he said, I wasn't fired as the Jets head coach, I quit.
Yeah, so I don't think that this was, like, if we're going to put this in presidential terms, mm-hmm. That they did not go through the impeachment process. I think that rather than suffer through an impeachment, so I don't know if it means, like, if you go, like, Bill Clinton went through an impeachment and then there was, like, a whole thing in the Congress, but I don't think that Morty Seinfeld's thing got to the board, right?
Right, yeah, I guess you're right.
But I think that Nixon, you would say, was impeached. I don't think it went to Kate, but he resigned.
Well, Clinton was impeached, too. He just, he
went through. Like, I don't know. I'm not enough of a history buff to know whether or not Nixon's stuff went through.
Well, when we do that day in the random day calendar, we'll find out much more about Nixon being resigned.
Days in the 70s, though.
Well, when we finish the 90s, we're going to have to either move to the 2000s or to the 80s or
go
the 70s.
All the way back?
I think the 80s are lame. I think I'd rather do the 70s than the 80s, to be honest.
Okay. Helen talks about the press would bury Morty if he did not resign. And so Jerry asks, well, what press? And Helen refers to the condo newsletter, the Boca Breeze. And Morty calls it a pinko commie rag, the fake news media.
Sure. I mean, I've been on
the Boca Breeze.
Yeah, it could be a compliment. I don't know. Is he like Red Rose Twitter? And he's like, he's saying, yeah, it's great.
There's a lot of anti-communist sentiment that comes out in Seinfeld.
Yes. Listen, well, I think the writer of this episode, probably not pro-communist, if I had to guess. Listen, the 90s was a very, you know, the Cold War just ended. I feel like everyone was anti-communism in the 90s. Now it's cool again, but back then it was not.
Yeah. I do like the role that the Boca Breeze plays in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they keep flashing to the headlines, they do a good job with that.
All right. So a bunch of guys come in with Kramer and they talk about how Kramer, what a great guy he is. He just got a date with the young Aquasize instructor. Jerry seems to know immediately who she is. She's 50.
Yeah, of course, Jerry knows the Aquasize instructor at Del Boca Vista. Mm-hmm. Kramer, his chief demo is old men. Like, I could see all the old people just absolutely eating him up and loving him here. So, and you know, everyone would be his like little grandma.
And there is talk about how he has charisma, and the light bulb goes off in Morty Seinfeld's head and says, that's it. I'll tell you what I'm looking at. He's the next condo president of Del Boca Vista.
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay, so we're going to work on installing Kramer as the figurehead of the Morty Seinfeld regime. Meanwhile, we see Daryl in the apartment. Here's the one place where there's a little bit of a crossover, Keith.
Yes.
So Daryl and Elaine are together, and Daryl is thanking Elaine for the wizard organizer. Elaine says, forget about that. Let's fill out the warranty.
Wouldn't this be like an automatic breakup thing if someone tried to get you to fill out a warranty?
Have you ever filled out the warranty on anything?
Unless you legally have to for something. I don't think so.
I think I filled it out for, I think I have a warranty on my car.
Yeah, car. I'm saying a big ticket purchase, like car, house, you probably have to fill stuff out.
But sometimes like the computer or software makes you fill it out.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, online. That's true.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we go through the hobbies and then we get down to, okay, race. And Daryl says, well, isn't that optional? And Elaine says, well, it should be, but you know, they would like to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's Asian.
He's Asian, he says, just to mess with them.
Yeah, and then he says he makes six figures.
Okay, now, when he says that he makes over $100,000 here in 1998, Elaine seems impressed, but this is right on the heels of, let's say, Asian to mess with them. Is there any possibility that Daryl is messing with the warranty company?
It's possible, but then he would say, like, yeah, they'll mess, right? It would be funny if he said, like, nope, messing with them, I'm actually, you know, I'm grad student and I make $20,000, that would be, you know, mm-hmm. that might be funny too. So we're also like showing, remember, Elaine is like very shallow and ultimately doesn't care where he's from or, you know, what his background is, but she would certainly care that he has a good job.
We see Jerry and Elaine talking on the phone. Elaine is still getting nowhere with this question. She talks about that she's at the point where she's just taking Daryl to a bunch of Spanish restaurants because that will cover them either way.
Yeah.
Daryl is going to be confused about this. I still don't get what they're going for.
Well, I think it is just like an insane idea that blows up in her face in the last scene.
Yeah. Jerry says you're a master of race relations. And so Elaine has heard about Kramer running for president of the condo. Jerry explains about how his dad wants to install Kramer in this puppet regime. He's running against common sense and a guy in a wheelchair.
Yeah. I don't think we see the guy in the wheelchair, right?
Yeah, we hear about the guy in the wheelchair again at the end of the episode. Let's all vote for the guy in the wheelchair. All right, George is going to come in, and he's mad because that we know that this is a big plot point in Seinfeld. Who gets to pick up somebody's mail? Who gets the spare keys when somebody is away? And so how much mail does Jerry get?
I guess he gets a lot of mail. Like, he's a, you know, a freelancer. Probably his checks are coming in the mail. It's pre-direct deposit.
Okay, but Keith, yeah. We have well established that the mail in the Seinfeld universe comes to a mailbox that is downstairs. Why is George going up to Jerry's apartment?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess they just hang out there like out of habit. Right. And also, like, mm-hmm. people get the mail usually when they live in a home because they don't want to see like a mailbox. They don't want any passersby to see the mailbox overflowing. And, you know, some criminal element comes and robs them. They, mm-hmm. if you live in an apartment, it generally, you know, it's in a box. So unless it's really like filling up the box to the point where the mailman can't go any further, like, it's not a big deal. Unless he just doesn't want Newman, who's a maybe is Newman there? Is Newman there a mailman? I don't think he is, right?
I don't think
you
so.
You can't be your own mailman. I think that's a rule.
You wouldn't think so. I mean, George is stopping in. He's surprised to see Elaine. What are you doing here?
Yeah.
It's almost like, I mean, was George in the neighborhood and needed to use the restroom?
That's possible. I mean, we know George loves a clean New York City bathroom. That's his thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Jerry doesn't seem alarmed. Like, why is George there? George, what are you doing? You go to my apartment when I'm not home?
Yeah, they don't really establish it, but it's
Kramer's not there. It's not like he's there to see Kramer. This isn't Friends. They don't all live in the same building.
True. But I don't think, I mean, they have keys at this point, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jerry instructs George that he needs to come by twice a day to flush the toilet so the gaskets don't dry out and leak. Mm-hmm. Is there any truth in the science? I know, Keeve, that you are an expert plumber to what Jerry is telling George to do.
I mean, he's just giving him a job. It's like if one of your kids is like, hey, how come you didn't let me get the ketchup from the fridge? It's like, all right, you get the mustard, even though you don't need the mustard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my kids, nothing to do with mustard.
Yeah, but they like they don't. They also don't want tasks. But if you have one task, the other one will probably be jealous.
Yeah. Okay. So George and Elaine start talking about what's going on. Why do the Rosses think that you have a place in the Hamptons? Elaine asks George, and he explains, because I told them that.
Yeah. I mean, again, we know at this, George has to know at this point that if he has this big plan, you got to tell Kramer, you got to tell Elaine and Jerry, because that's how we get the Vandalay industry is, you know, you want to be my latex salesman mm-hmm. situation. You got to let everyone in, you know, at least your only three
keep
friends in the world in the loop
right.
on your lies.
Right. Like if this was The Ringer, they would all know about it in their Slack channel.
Yeah. If they really needed a WhatsApp group or a Slack channel, you know, people say that. You know, having cell phones would have solved things, but really having group chat would have helped. You know, they could have got all their lies in one place. And then the last episode could have just been somebody, you know, the police confiscate their group chat and
their server.
Yeah, see everything that they've said back and forth, all their lies. And that's it. They don't even need to call 100. You know, the finale yeah. could be under 5 hours. They could just.
Would their Slack channel have been admissible in court in the Seinfeld finale? Keith?
I think so. Why not? Why wouldn't it be?
I don't know. I've never heard of a court case where somebody, you know, can we ask Chester that?
Yeah, we could ask him. I don't.
Has that ever happened yet? Has there ever been a court case yet where a Slack channel has been subpoenaed?
Yeah, like to our.
Do you subpoena a Slack channel?
I think you would subpoena Slack channel. What would you do to Slack mm-hmm. channel? I'm sure it's happened. But again, like even what actually happened in Seinfeld hasn't really happened, right? They just calling like every person they've ever met as a anti-character witness.
Yeah, this is a funny interaction with George and Elaine, because Elaine tells George that she was the one that told them about the Hamptons, and she laughed and laughed and laughed.
Yeah.
And so George is upset that they knew. That they knew I was lying. They didn't say anything. You don't let somebody lie when they know you're lying. You call them a liar.
Yeah, I do like how much George hates liars. All liars detest other liars.
Yes. Yeah. And so he says that he's going to call up the Rosses and bring them to his non-existent place in the Hamptons, and we'll see who blinks first. And Elaine has a great line also in this scene. She says, haven't you done enough to these people?
Yeah. What a foolproof plan George comes up with. Usually George has real good plans, and this one is just a nightmare.
Yeah. All right. Back down to Del Boca Vista, the height of the campaign between Kramer and the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah. Kramer's pinching cheeks. He's kissing babies. He's kissing old people. He's putting stickers on ambulances. He's campaigning up a storm.
Mm-hmm. Kramer is going to increase the Social Security, he says. I'm not sure necessarily whether the condo board president has that authority, but you know that the Boca Breeze is going to be loving that idea.
Yeah, I do. That's true. They want to hand it. I think it's like, you know, you ever have someone like run for like 8th grade student council president, and they're like, you know, they make big promises like, you know, I'm going to get this teacher fired, and like anyone who gives that homework is going to, you know, mm-hmm. like there's no more homework, and like now school lunch is going to be free. You can make a lot of promises you can't keep. No one's really holding you accountable.
Okay, we go back to Monk's, where Daryl and Elaine are, you know, having something else. It must be a lot of work. And look, I love a good coffee shop, but, you know, anybody that's dating the core four has got to, all of a sudden, if they're not a coffee shop person, mm-hmm. this is a big conflict.
It's true.
Must love coffee shops.
It is definitely a core sort of element to hanging out with them, which is, again, maybe why nobody really sticks around and is actually their friend. Maybe Monks is gross.
And there's an interaction between the waitress and Daryl that I'm pretty sure has never happened in the history of the food service industry. Biggest stretch ever. The waitress says to Daryl, "Are you black? Or should I bring some cream?"
Yeah, I think this is Constance Zimmer, by the way. Yeah, nobody's ever said, "Are you black?" before to, like, talking about black coffee. And is the implication that he's been there 20 times and she's, like, sort of getting his order down pat?
Mm-hmm.
That's possible.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she could have just said black.
Yeah, that would have made more sense.
As she brings the coffee out. I know, but are you black? Nobody's ever said
it's
that
funnier,
in terms
but
of
like
a
in
coffee
hindsight,
order.
Yeah, it's almost cheating. I agree.
Yeah. And Daryl responds, "I'm black." No, nobody has ever said that.
Yeah, nobody's ever said it.
And then Daryl says, "Oh, you know what? Could you bring a little cream?" Even if he was a black coffee drinker, nobody who drinks black coffee is like a black coffee. You know, I changed my mind. Bring some cream.
Yeah. No, you have a set order.
You're either cream or no cream. Yeah. And if you're no cream, you wear that like a badge of
honor.
Sure,
you don't get a little cream.
And you do cream shaming.
Sure. You ever cream shame or are you a creamer guy?
No, I'm not a cream shamer. Look, I drink coffee without sugar.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you drink? Do you drink black coffee?
No, I will drink black coffee, you know, sometimes, but it's not my first choice. You know, it's sort of like if I ever have black coffee, it's like, you know, I've had so much coffee. Let me just drink a little bit of this black coffee so I don't drink a lot.
I was just around
that might be like the late in the evening. I might have a little black coffee just to get a taste of it. And then so I don't drink so much of it.
My dad drinks 5 or 6 cups of coffee a day. And I was just around him. It's such a because I don't drink any coffee. It's such a lifestyle. It's like a non-coffee person and a coffee person. They almost can't mix.
It's like smoking.
It is true. It is like smoking. His whole day revolves around coffee.
Oh yeah.
Like he.
No, it's a monkey that you can't get off your back.
We don't eat milk and meat, so he'll just never have meat because he has milk in his coffee. So he just like he doesn't want to have meat because then it would mean he couldn't have coffee. But like coffee. You know, is more important to him than food, which is insane to me. He guess he's a food hater like you.
But not a meat hater.
You're not a meat. Well, yeah, you don't have to keep kosher laws. But if you know,
yeah,
if you did, it would be
so.
A problem.
What are you like a non-dairy creamer?
The point is people like him are so particular that switching that like he would probably rather have no coffee than you like switching up his order even 1%, you know?
Yeah, I mean, powdered creamer should be used to torture prisoners.
The problem is with someone like him, because we have 6 fast days on the Jewish calendar, so that means you have to go from his 6 cups of coffee to 0, you know, a bunch of times a year. And that is, so I've never asked him, and I don't think he does this, but there's people who get like the coffee like...
patch?
No, I think it's like a suppository or something that a lot of people get. I don't think he does it, but like it's become popular.
Wait, what? There's a caffeine suppository?
I think so.
This episode of the Seinfeld The Wizard is sponsored by Coffee Suppository. Kiva, did you know there's 6 fasting days a year in the Jewish religion?
It's only for Jews to big market.
if you're a coffee lover.
Yeah.
Try Coffee Suppository.
Oh,
it's available in light roast, medium, and dark roast.
I could be making this up, but I'm pretty sure this is a real thing.
I mean, I don't want to screw up my Google history.
This is an incognito mode. Yeah, I don't want
to go
Nicole
into
sees
coffee.
That you Googled Coffee Suppository. I think it's over.
Boy, I mean, Coffee Suppository. You know, now I'm thinking like a lot of. I mean, there's a lot of times I'm here doing a podcast for a long time. You know, it's a lot of work to go and make coffee constantly.
Yeah.
You could just get like a
coffee maker up there.
So how does
probably
it work?
Better than like, you know, like.
So there's Enema Coffee, but yeah, Coffee Suppository. This is on Amazon.
Uh-huh.
Not a paid sponsorship, but you can, of course, you know, use our link on.
If they want to sponsor the podcast, they can.
Yeah. So this is a 30 count cocoa butter and green coffee extract suppository. I don't know what they look like.
All right, so there's good for your... I guess this is the first of all, I'm calling it coffee, but I guess we should be saying caffeine suppository, right? Because it's not literally coffee. So there's a it must have like gone viral one day in 2010 because here are a couple headlines. Okay,
yeah,
September 13th, 2010, rabbinic rulings in the rectal route. And then there's another 4 days later. That was Huffington Post. Brooklyn paper has bump in the trunk. Jews rushing to get caffeine suppositories.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't make it up. That's wild.
Yeah. This is interesting because, you know, all that cream can be fattening.
Gothamist, so a few days after
that
says anal atonement. We wrote out Yom Kippur on.
All right. The coffee suppository. Okay. That could be its own podcast.
Yeah. Sponsor the podcast.
Put it on the wheel. Put it on the wheel. Okay. All right.
Robin Keefe in coffee suppository.
Look, if you have to test it, somebody has to test it.
You wouldn't even go across the street to pick up kosher food. You're putting some in your butt. No way.
I mean, is it a kosher?
It's got to be a separate market. It's got to be kosher. Although it seems like they're the most interested in this product.
The reason why I didn't want to do the kosher food podcast was because I didn't think that you're here's a latke for you. Yeah.
What's wrong with that? I think people would like that.
I don't think that was going to be on the list. It was going to be all the stuff that's I would have gotten a latke.
You would have gotten a couple weird things.
The appeal was trying to get me to, you know, here's...
I think I wouldn't have given anything I don't like, except for maybe herring.
All right. I don't know where we... are you black in terms of coffee?
Yeah.
There's a couple... that I don't know said something. I think they like pointed at them, and Daryl goes on this incredible leap to say that, did you hear that? There are people that have trouble with this interracial couple.
Yeah.
Now they don't say anything that's audible.
Why do you think they're looking at them? Is it because of the turkey club?
I think it's because somebody just asked somebody, are you black, about a coffee order.
Right. Yeah, maybe they're pointing at the waitress for asking a weird question.
That was a crazy thing that just happened. Mm-hmm. So Daryl jumps to the conclusion that people are having problems with this interracial couple.
That is the jump to conclusions, Matt. That doesn't work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Daryl is so upset about this. He doesn't feel like eating. Elaine says, well, me neither. Well, maybe this turkey club.
Yeah. Maybe they were pointing at the turkey club. Maybe it looked really good.
Yeah. Whatever this couple did is so unnoticeable.
Yeah.
That I'm like, wait, did I miss something?
No, if you're looking for a problem, you always find one. So
yeah,
it's
I guess
on their
so.
Mind.
All right. So George is with the Rosses. Ask them if they're ready to go to the Hamptons. You got your bathing suits. They tell him it's March. And so speak now or come on. We're about to get in the car. It's a 2-hour drive.
Yeah. Let's get nuts.
Let's get nuts. All right. So Jerry is with his parents, with dad. And so we see that Kramer and Morty are feeling very good. So Morty is sort of the campaign manager here for Kramer.
He's like the Steve Bannon.
Is he the Steve Bannon?
I think so.
Or is he more of like the David Axelrod?
He might be an Axelrod. Yeah, I guess he's an Axelrod. That he's going to start like a bunch of podcasts afterwards or something.
I'm not sure exactly.
Does Axelrod have a podcast
or he does.
Is it on the same network?
I think it's part of CNN.
Okay.
I forget what it's called. That he is really, you know, running this campaign, but he's really the brains behind the operation, really hiding behind, you know, Kramer's friendly facade. And have you seen today's Boca Breeze? Candidate Cosmo Kramer was barefoot in the clubhouse.
Don't a lot of these places have like an age minimum? I think where my grandma used to live had like you had to be 55 to buy.
Hmm.
So it is actually interesting because Kramer, you know, I guess he's ostensibly in his 40s at the end of the run.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they're like so accepting of such a young person.
Yeah. Now, the Boca Breeze, which has been very pro-Kramer,
yes.
I think is showing a lot of journalistic integrity to, I mean, they seem to be backing Kramer all the way, but then they report on him. They don't try to bury the story.
I like it. Yeah, no, we need more of that nowadays.
It's not beneath the fold or anything.
Yeah.
So, interestingly enough, you know, Kramer does not try to refute these charges.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no way to, you know, you can't argue with these people.
Yeah, he doesn't try to say, okay, this was, you know, fake or anything like that. Instead, they come up with this plan. They're going to buy off the electorate.
Yeah, it's funny that, like, this was their plan B. They should have just done plan A. They should have just taken them all out to dinner or something.
Yeah. And so Morty Seinfeld, he's going to go take a nap. It's like a running gag about how the older people try to pretend it's not hot, that Helen Seinfeld is going to bring Morty an electric blanket while he takes a nap.
Yeah. Are electric blankets still a thing?
I think they are.
I mean, I know they exist. I wonder if they're more popular or less popular now.
I think less popular.
Yeah, probably. They went out with waterbeds.
I'm not sure exactly why.
I feel like the waterbed electric blanket
Venn diagram
was pretty circular. Yeah,
I think a lot of them went on fire. I think that's a big part.
Yeah,
of
that's
it.
True. I would be nervous to have the electric blanket. You got the electric blanket. Maybe you got what's that thing? The heater, the portable heater. What's that called? That always catches fire.
Space heater.
Forget it. Everything's burning down.
What do you think? Do you think that millennials have homes that are better insulated, or do you think that global warming has been part of the downfall of the electric blanket?
I think that the Earth is much hotter. I do think if you're wanting to pin the blame of the downfall of electric blankets on millennials. I don't know about that.
I don't think a lot of I think the millennials have weighted blankets.
Yeah, weighted blankets are more therapy blankets, but no electric blankets.
Okay. All right. So we're going to get a hookup on these wizards. Jerry Jerry Seinfeld, you know, he's always strapped for cash that he can't buy a $200 wizard for everybody.
It was like 10 people.
So Bob Sacamano's father to the rescue.
Think about how much money Jerry's wasted in Florida alone these last like few seasons. Cars that are just, going to the ocean. Like he can't drop $2,000 for their little plan here. Come on.
Yeah.
Does have a family?
Keith, this might be my favorite scene in the episode coming up here with George and the Rosses, where the Rosses are just hanging George out to dry.
Yes.
And Mrs. Ross asks George, please, tell us more about your new home in the Hamptons. And George says, you want to hear more? The master bedroom opens into the solarium.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Ross has another solarium.
I do think a solarium was enough. I do think millennials killed the solarium also because.
Did they kill the solarium?
You don't hear about solariums at all.
I think that a lot of millennials are sleeping in the solarium, which is much warmer. That's why they don't need the electric blanket.
People still have solariums? I don't know.
I think we have to double check and see what a solarium is. Well, it's like.
I always thought it was like a place where you like sort of like. Like almost like a schwitz, like a sunbed thing. But I always thought people were naked in the solariums.
A schwitz is like a sauna.
Yeah,
right?
It's like a mini sauna. It's like not a full sauna, but it's like it's like hotter.
Solarium.
And
it's
naked.
Almost like a greenhouse type area. Like if you have like sort of like outdoor dining, but you like you're behind like plexiglass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think. And people
so
are
like
naked, you think, or they're wearing clothes?
Nobody's naked. The worst place to be naked is in the solarium because everybody can see you. Your neighbors, if you're naked in the solarium, you have a next door neighbor that they can see you.
I don't know. I don't know why I associate with nudity. Maybe I once when I was a kid, it was like a solarium
maybe
in a hotel and I saw naked
people. Maybe you're a nudist.
But definitely. I don't think so, but I just have it. You know, certain things you associate with other things. I just, when I hear solarium, I think like there's naked people involved somehow.
So, yes, two solariums, George says, and he has horses, too. And Mrs. Ross wants to know, what are the horses' names? And George instantly says, Snoopy and Prickly Pete.
I do like the, I mean, Snoopy, like, is probably trademark, but I love the name Prickly Pete if you ever bought a horse.
Yeah, Snoopy and Prickly Pete. I love it so much. And so Mrs. Ross wants to stop. She sees an antique stand.
Yeah, well, she's going to buy him a housewarming gift. He should have done it because, like, is she going to take it back at the end? Like, what's the game plan for that? He could have gotten a free thing out of this. He knows this is not going to end well.
Keeve, I called us the Snoopy and Prickly Pete of podcasting in the intro. What do you think I said in the intro of the original podcast?
Ooh, that's good. That's a good trivia question. Do you know the answer?
I don't know. You want to hear? You want to see?
Yeah, let's play it.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Seinfeld, the wizard is over and has been for quite some time. We're just getting started here on Seinfeld, the post-show recap. And now here's the guy on today's podcast who has less than one solarium. I'm Rob Cesternino here with special guest host Alexander Chester filling in for Keeve. Alex, how are you?
I am excellent. Yeah, two guys who are definitely not Akiva Wienerker.
No, we
and
are
I,
not.
I apologize to the listeners. You know, sometimes you order a wizard and you get a Willard.
It's a good line.
Yeah. Did you think he planned that?
probably.
Do people plan? I've never planned like an opening line, but I do think there are people who plan their opening lines when they come on the show with you.
Yeah. Look, I appreciate it.
No, you think people should like plan? You'd rather me have like a canned line for my first line?
Look, I guess best would be off the cuff.
Yeah.
Second best would be prepared.
Okay.
And third worst would be
nothing. Yeah. Well, I get the first 50 episodes of Seinfeld, it's nothing. You would say, hey, how's it going? And I'd be like, oh, shoot, I was not anticipating that question. Eventually, I learned.
Okay. All right. So we're taking it up a notch. All right. So Elaine and the waitress. This is, I think Elaine is kind of out of line here. So Elaine is talking to the African-American waitress. Elaine says to the waitress, long day. And the waitress says she just worked a triple shift, which I don't know. This seems like worker abuse.
Yeah, that's too many shifts. We already know they have weird hiring practice. They only hire family members or busty waitresses. Like,
yeah, is that 24 hours straight of waitressing?
That's how long a shift is at Monk's. That's too long to work as a...
what is this, ER?
That's a good reference.
Long shift at the coffee shop. And Elaine said, I hear you, sister. And the waitress is very taken aback. Sister?
Yeah.
And Elaine says, it's okay. My boyfriend is black.
Yeah, not great.
Not great.
I'd rather just say, like, I call everybody sister.
So she says, here he is. See? I mean, what was the, like, smoking gun that Elaine came across? Was it that the couple in the restaurant were snickered at them being interracial?
Once they thought that they were being mocked for being an interracial couple, now it's like, all right, he's got to be black.
So I don't see it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if these people have looked at this and instantly they know, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so Elaine is pointing to him and says, look, see? And the waitress says, he's black?
Right. That's also a wild call by the waitress to like start. Like, it is weird what Elaine did, but then just to like question the ethnicity, if he is sort of like, if he could pass for black, which I don't know if he can, I guess that's sort of the point of the episode, but it is interesting that she's like calling him out on it.
Yeah. And Daryl's like, I'm black. And Elaine says, aren't you? And the waitress said, I'll leave you a couple of minutes to decide,
yeah,
which
funny.
Is a good line.
It is a good line.
It's a good line because that is something unlike, are you black, that a waitress would actually say.
Correct.
Yeah. And Elaine is trying to tell Daryl, look, you're black. We're an interracial couple. And Daryl says, no, we are because you're Hispanic.
Which, by the way, not crazy, right? Bennis is a Hispanic name, which we never really, it has not come up during the series before, but it's an interesting, like, point. You know, we don't see Daryl talking to his friends, like his POV and what he thinks Elaine is, but it's interesting.
Right. And so Daryl is saying, because your name is Bennis, your hair, you keep taking me to those Spanish restaurants. And Elaine says, because I thought you were black.
Yeah. And he calls her out on that.
Daryl says, well, why would you take me to a Spanish restaurant? Because I'm black. And Elaine says, well, we shouldn't be talking about this. And they come to the realization they're just a couple of white people. I guess we should go to the Gap.
Yeah. The whitest thing the writer's room could think of.
Yeah. Is there a better line?
I mean, has the Gap gotten whiter? I don't know. The Gap is just falling on hard times all around, I think.
Right. I don't know if anybody is going to the Gap now.
Yeah, I think the Gaps and even the Banana Republic near my house closed. Like, I feel like they've... That's the same company, right? I think they've fallen on hard times.
So we go to Kramer, and he is at lunch with everybody, and everybody's feeling like Kramer's got this election all wrapped up.
Yeah, he's bought them the Wizards. There is a deleted scene that would have been around here where they go to Bob Sacamano's dad, and he can't speak to fill the Willard order, that Jerry goes there, but he doesn't speak. It's not a great scene, again, because there's nothing really to it. And
he can't speak. What is he, like Hector Salamanca, yes, with a bell?
He basically is. He's sort of the role model for Hector Salamanca, correct.
Okay. So everybody's realizing that, hey, our tips are coming out wrong. It's over tipping. This guy just left $5 for a BLT.
I always love that the guy yells, I'm ruined because of the extra $2.
Yeah. Another guy says, mine doesn't have a 7. I'm ruined. Why didn't you get them the Wizards? Morty wants to know, because they were $200. There was no deal.
Wouldn't a real politician sort of promise the Wizards, but like they're on back order, they're coming in the week after the election?
Yeah, that would be good, you know, in hindsight for future politicians. Mm-hmm. Promise something,
yes,
that will come after the election.
Sure. Yeah, you know, it's election season now, so you'll go to like a place and whatever the problem is in that community. Yeah. Like,
if
we need
I'm
more
elected,
parks. Like, all right, I'll want a park. I'll build you 8 parks, and then the parks never come. And the next time the park is discussed is the next time that person's
you'll
running.
You'll see
through
all the parks, all the Wizards.
Yes,
it'll be great.
Yeah, they're finished, and now they want everyone to vote for the guy in the wheelchair, the unnamed, unseen guy in the wheelchair.
Everybody vote for the guy in the wheelchair. So for Kramer, he's headed back to New York, and these aren't Wizards, these are Willards.
Again, we talked about this very 90s trope of like Rolexes that someone buys, and then they realize in the middle of the episode it's a Tolex, which is like the same joke that happens in like 4 different 90s sitcoms. And this is 98, so that joke has happened a bunch of times. So this is a very, too on the nose, not smart enough for Seinfeld. Bit, but
yeah, but it is the Bob Sacamano bit,
yeah, for sure. That, yeah, no, and that's not the bit, isn't just a one line bit, it's sort of the they admit, you know, like that, you know, that they're sort of bogus, but whatever.
You know,
they're
it's not a raccoon hat, it's a rat hat,
yeah.
You know, it's always like, you know, the off brand thing,
yeah,
you
and
know,
I love that it's Sacamano's dad, like his dad is pulling shady schemes even though he can't talk,
right,
when he's in Florida.
Even going back to, did Bob Sacamano had the defective condoms?
Yes.
Yeah, so classic.
How do you think
Sacamano.
Bob Sacamano was born?
Mm-hmm. So we see in our final scene of the episode that George and the Rosses are on a beach, and somehow they've driven like up to like the shoreline.
Gotta be like 4 hours at this point if they're like at the end of Long Island.
They've reached the end of Long Island, and George says, "We go on foot from here."
I love that. Like, George is really willing to pull. I really like the battle of wits here between the Rosses. With their daughter's murderer, according to them. And by the way, like, they might think he's a dangerous person. This might be dangerous to actually go out there with him. And then, like, they're both not willing to, like, what's the longest you've ever gone to commit to a bit like this? Like, I'm impressed on both of their ends that they did this.
Yeah. 5 minutes.
I think I maybe mentioned this on a very early episode of Seinfeld when we were really hungry for some wing restaurant. When I had a gap year abroad in Israel, and we all chipped in $20 to send this one like lunatic back to New York, but he had to fly. We found him a cheap flight. Everyone gave him money for their order and then gave him an extra $20. It was like 40 guys. It was like $800 ticket. Mm-hmm. And then he had to fly back, go straight to the restaurant, get everyone's food with no bag. So he could just put all the food in the bag, come back like that day. It's a 12-hour flight. So it was like airport, restaurant, airport, come back. Like just for the bit, and we thought it was funny, but then the school caught him. Like, you want to leave the country without permission. The school caught him when he was in New York. That was like the longest
airport,
and that was it wasn't fully my idea, but I was definitely involved. Like, that's the longest I've ever sort of like gone for a bit, like to, you know, send someone literally across the globe to get wings, just as like you know, for a full day, just as like a bit. But the Ross is real. I also like Susan Ross, not Susan, Mama Ross here.
Yeah,
it's like a really. Like, you could feel the hatred on her face. Like, she really plays this well.
Yeah. And so George is broken. He's, like, on his knees. He's like, all right, there's no house. It's a lie. There's no solarium. There's no prickly peat. There's no other solarium.
Like, I'm surprised George gives in first, but I guess, like, exercise is involved, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so they say, we know. And then why did you make me drive all this way out here? It's like, well, we don't like you, George. And we always blamed you for what happened to Susan. Yeah. It's like, oh, all right, let's go back.
What an awkward car ride home. 4 hours.
George should have said, you know what? You guys get your own ride
home.
It's
insane that he drives them back at this point. He should leave them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're so wealthy. What are they going to pay for $1,000 for a cab? They won't care.
Yeah. I mean, where's the cab going to find them?
Yeah, that's true. You know, it might take a while to get a cab. It's pre-Uber and... They're like,
it's March. Yeah. It's the end of Long Island.
There's no one
that happens
but the locals. Yeah, that's true.
Like, do they have a cell phone or do they have a portable?
Cordless? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if George just drives away, I mean, he may be able to wipe all the Rosses out.
That's true. That's true.
I may never see the Rosses ever again.
I love the commitment to the bit here, though.
Yeah, it's great. All right, Keeve, do we give a rating for the storylines?
Well, I gave them. I could tell you what my ratings were briefly. Jerry Kramer, I wrote, feels like we've been here before with all this. I give it a D. What did you give
Jerry
it?
Jerry almost has nothing going on. Jerry is sort of just like,
I regret giving it a D. Rewatching it, I'll move this up to a B-. Jerry has nothing, but so maybe that was impacting my grade. But the Kramer storyline is funny, even though... Again, we really did just do this with Morty Seinfeld. Maybe that's why I gave it a D.
Jerry's just sort of like a means to an end to get to the Kramer being with Morty Seinfeld. He's just like in the sidecar.
Yeah, one of the lightest Jerry episodes of the series. The Elaine storyline, I said, love the idea of the boyfriend's unknown race. Like, it's definitely an original idea, but I feel like they should have gone further with it. I think I just wanted it to be maybe the A story, not like the C story. I gave it a B-. And for George, I said,
you know what though? Yeah. I kind of feel like that, does it hold up? Okay. But it's
unreasonable.
It's not,
like a bunch of racial jokes from Seinfeld from the '90s. Like it couldn't have held up better. You know what I mean? It could only have gotten worse.
It's not terrible, but you know, had they gone further, I think it would have held up worse.
At the time, it might have been funnier, but it would have, but, are we judging it on like how funny it is now or then? It's tricky. But
if you go back and watch a 90s SNL, It's Pat. Where it's basically the same joke. Yes. It's Pat, where it's like, it's Pat is Pat a man or a woman? Correct. And this is like, you know, like a different version of the same joke. Yes. What race? Let's ask questions so that we, you know, and Pat would give like, you know, nondescript answers of that. I was on a date with Terry. And it's like, is it a man or a woman? And I think I think it's Pat would probably be considered wildly offensive.
True. Good point.
Now, so you know, also, if they went further,
it's not really stood the test of time. I feel like even SNL fans who are listening might not know it's Pat.
So, and the reason why it has not stood the test of time, and you'll never see it's Pat on, like, you know, I'd be very surprised if they showed anything on the SNL 40th anniversary or anything like that. Because I don't think it holds up.
What about the It's Pat movie? Do you see that?
I don't even think I saw it.
I think
it's
I
Pat
did.
Movie.
Even though I wasn't really watching SNL when it's Pat was popular, I believe it was on Comedy Central a lot when I was a kid. I think I watch it. For George, I wrote textbook George storyline, but it's not that funny. It's funny to talk about, but there aren't a lot of laughs during his storyline.
You know, I feel like I'm the highest on the George storyline. I love, you know, that he has, I think, the funniest lines in the episode.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to guess my episode ranking from this episode?
I'm sure I already did at one point. Yes. But I'll say that it's somewhere probably around like 92.
No, I was pretty low on it. I think I'm higher now. If I would move it up now, but it was actually 152, which was my lowest episode in 4 years.
152. Yeah. Wow.
Listen, there's 151 funnier episodes, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe, were you grading it down because you felt like that the subject matter was too controversial?
No, I think it's because I wasn't there, maybe. I knocked it down. I don't
you
know.
You were sour.
I was pretty jealous of Chester. Yeah, because to me, it might not be a top 100 episode, but it's not a bottom 30 or bottom 40 episode, I think, now watching it. Okay. There's some interesting things.
And Keith, explain this to me. So you have mailbag questions that we didn't get to
in the original? We'll just re-answer them.
So we're gonna answer questions again?
Well, some of them. Most people who write in send 5 questions. So what are the odds I pick the same? Chester probably picked the worst questions. I'll pick the good ones.
Okay.
Johnny Silvera, just to get him involved, because we did mention a bunch of these things. In the Boca Breeze headlines, did you see the multiple mentions of Larry David splashed across?
No, were there images of Larry David?
No, it just
or
mentioned
Larry
that he quits golf. You know, because they have other headlines on the page besides the Kramer stuff. Dan the Benefactor says, what does George possibly think is going to happen with taking the rest of the Hamptons? What is best case scenario? He knows they're...
Hey, does Dan the Benefactor have to pay
he
more
does.
Money?
Yes,
for
he has to pay for this. Only the Seinfeld half of this episode. Right. He gets a lot of free podcasts nowadays, Dan. And these are, I think, are longer even than the Seinfeld ones, the R-A-N-E-P.
Yeah.
What's best case scenario for George? He knows...
Freeloading.
Yeah, he is a freeloader. He knows they know he's lying. They've accepted the trip. What possible reason would they accept other than to have George break down and admit he's lying?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
What is George's best case scenario with bringing the Rust out to the Hamptons? That they just halfway through, like, this drive is too long, I don't want to go to your nice house?
Yeah, I mean, who wants to sit in a long ride out to the Hamptons?
I mean, I guess he should have got lost and ended up in, like, Pennsylvania or something. That should have been his, like, that should have been what he did. And then, like, eventually just he gives up.
Yeah, runs out of gas or something.
Yeah, he should have run out of gas. That's not a bad idea. Lindsay writes in. I haven't heard from Lindsay in a while. She said, hey, guys.
Lindsay!
Pretty excited to hear that a live show could be in the works. I don't know whether I could make it, but I would be down to try.
I feel like she can't.
Ron Howard's voice, she did not try. Maybe she tried, but she did not. I think we called Lindsay during the live show, if I'm not mistaken. So she was there in voice. We called everyone who didn't show up who said they would come. We called on the live show, or we're going to call. She said, in this era where they made a Candy Crush show and a Battleship movie, is the Coffee Table Book movie really that hard to imagine? No, I agree. I think it's not crazy at all now.
Yeah. What would it would be a movie? Coffee Table the movie?
I think it's based on the movie. Like, what if, like, Coffee Table... It could be an animated movie, like a Pixar movie.
Yeah,
it's where Coffee Table Books come to life. But, like, if you're a Coffee Table Book about airplanes, you're, like, kind of an airplane. And I'm a character.
Is it, well, okay. So is it a coffee table book about a world of, like, in a world where coffee table books are real? Mm-hmm. Or is it in a world where when people go to work, all the coffee tables hang out during the day?
So it's like Toy Story, but instead of tars, toys, it's just coffee tables.
Or is it a coffee table and everything on the coffee table comes to life when people aren't around? Like, the coasters are like, hey, I'm coaster.
I think it's just coffee tables. It's like a universe of like just the coffee tables. And like if you're an airplane coffee table, you're an airplane. And if you're a coffee table books about coffee tables, then you're a coffee table.
See, I like this idea more about that all of the items on the coffee table are around. And then there's like a conversation between, the two cups of coffee.
No, I think, I mean, but you think, so you're thinking it's not animated?
Oh, it's animated. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like a Pixar.
We could do a live action. I don't know how you do a live action.
Probably DreamWorks.
Coffee table. I mean, Giovanni says,
Pixar.
Seeing how this episode is called The Wizard, has Akiva seen the movie called The Wizard starring Fred Savage, Christian Slater, and Beau Bridges?
Oh, I'm going to guess absolutely not.
Never heard of it. And even though I probably read that
question. Put it on the wheel.
Should we put it on the wheel?
It's not. No, it's not that exciting.
No. Craig Vivian from Vancouver says, isn't it stupid they named this episode The Wizard, even though they already had an episode with a more memorable wizard spotlight? He's talking about The Wiz.
So, I'm The Wiz.
I'm The Wiz. So then what should they have named this episode if it's not The Wizard, I guess is a good question.
Let's see. What could you have called?
I like
this
an episode called "The Boca Breeze," but it's not spotlight enough. You could have the campaign, but again, it's the second campaign, just in Del Boca Vista. You could have something like about sort of the
you can't call it the Hamptons because you already have an episode about the Hamptons. I don't know if you want to get into anything with
racial stuff
with Daryl and the relationship
like the
there.
Black Coffee. I don't think you could. It would be more memorable if you called this episode The Black Coffee, but I don't know if that works.
Yeah, I don't know. But honestly, when we talked about The Wizard, I did not remember that it was the handheld organizer.
Amir writes in and says, I filled out tons of warranty cards in my life, including a dozen in the past week. What a brag by Amir. He says, I just purchased a new house in New Jersey, and he made sure it was not too close to Chester. Although close enough that Amir did come to the cereal tournament. And then he said, none of those warranty cards have ever asked me for my race.
Well, maybe they had to change
it's possible.
Maybe in 1998.
After this episode, it shamed them into.
Yes.
Yeah. And he also says, even if Elaine was Hispanic, as Daryl thought, they would not be an interracial couple because federal policy defines Hispanic not as a race, but as an ethnicity. And it prescribes that Hispanics can be, in fact, of any race.
I didn't want to get into it. I didn't think that was my place. But
Amir, it's apparently his place. All right. So that was, 152nd best episode of Seinfeld. But for us, like, do you feel more complete now? Was there like a slight hole in your heart? And now it's healed.
I mean, I've done a podcast about this.
Oh,
episode.
So now, okay, this is for me. You were just doing me a favor. Yeah. I got it.
Well, it's for you and for the absolute, Chester haters that refuse to listen to that.
I think it was, Kaya put this on the wheel. She is maybe the biggest Chester hater, biggest Kiva stan. And I think she was, I think, called it the worst day of her life when Chester did the podcast. She listened to 179 other episodes, but not this one. There were a couple people, but I think most people were at least Chester neutral. We're nicer to Chester on this podcast than we were on the other one.
I'm happy that we have, can clear this off the wheel, clear up a spot. And then, of course, at some point we will get next week to get together with Your Tweets Are Trash featuring a guest.
Special guest.
Featuring a special guest.
Yes.
And then we'll see if then I will say, oh, you know what? I'm glad that I didn't veto this one, or if my veto FOMO will be even more of that I should have just completely vetoed Your Tweets Are Trash off
it's
the
wheel. It's possible you should have. I mean, now you're putting a lot of pressure on me. We'll see. It might be a disaster.
You said, trust me, I have a vision on this. And I said, I will follow, Akiva, I will follow your vision.
You said, I will follow you to the end of the earth, Akiva Wienerker.
I will follow you to the end of the earth. And I will, but I didn't say that I wouldn't complain about the journey.
True. Yeah, no, I agree.
Okay.
All right, this was fun. I don't even want to guess how long this episode was because we did it in two parts.
It'll be hard to figure out. Okay. All right. So great work. Let's skip the reviews this week. We'll get into that when we get into our normal episode. Mm-hmm. Episode number 9, Your Tweets Are Trash, coming up next week. Thanks, everybody, who made it this far. And also a big shout out to anybody who checked us out on post-show recaps. Come on over to robhasawebsite.com/NAP to subscribe to Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. Kiva is still on Twitter. He's at Kiv26. I'm at Rob Sestrino. Keith, anything special coming up on the 32 Fans podcast?
No, just their usual NFL stuff. We haven't recorded anything this week, but hopefully we'll get around to something. If Chester's not too offended by me sort of like taking his place on the Wizard podcast here.
All right, everybody. Have a good one. Take care. Bye.